Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
And today is Thursday, January 23rd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the Philadelphia Flyers' beloved mascot Gritty is under fire for allegedly assaulting a 13-year-old boy during a photo shoot, according to police. Philadelphia police said Wednesday that they are investigating the alleged physical assault, which happened at a season ticket holder meet and greet in November of 2019 at the Wells Fargo Center. Chris Greenwell says his son waited in line for an hour to meet Gritty before the game. After the photo that they took, the 13-year-old tapped Gritty on the head, which prompted Gritty to lunge out of his chair and punch the boy in the back. The family said the teen was hit so hard he required medical attention. In a statement, the Flyers organization said it took the allegations seriously and conducted a thorough investigation but found nothing to support this claim. The family says the Flyers offered them tickets and all you can drink inside a bar in the at the Wells Fargo Center, but that's not what they wanted. They said that they wanted an apology from the Flyers and for them to cover the $300 medical bill. The family is so angry that they are canceling their season tickets that they've had for years. In 2013, apparently, this guy was season ticket holder of the year.
This is super weird. And I can't believe there's not video. I mean...
Well, so apparently, this guy is claiming, now he claims on Facebook that there is video, but the Flyers are not releasing it. The Flyers are saying there is no video.
Okay.
And he's not suing them, you know, which is an indication me that it's all he wants is an apology and a medical bill paid.
Yeah, he said that he has not, he's not hired a lawyer yet.
Okay. What was the diagnosis of the injury?
I think that they just checked the kid out. And I,
contusion.
I heard he was bruised, yeah.
Oh,
he had
okay.
a bruise on his back.
But I was wondering, what, I mean, who knows? You don't know what medical insurance is, but why was that $300?
I don't know. Here's a couple things that I take from the story. Number one, the story I heard on the news, how it plays out, I don't know, but he apparently tapped Gritty on the head a few times. I don't know if one or two things happened that Gritty
I know
got angry that the kid was hitting him on the head, because sometimes, listen, like when wearing headphones and if somebody taps the side of this headphone,
you'd probably hit him too.
It hurts.
Yeah,
it goes in your ear and it reverberates really, really loud, and it actually hurts. Our old buddy John used to come in here
Hilarious.
And flick you on the ear, and we had to tell him, dude, don't
do that.
Do that. It hurts. So anyway, did Gritty freak out and hit this kid? I don't know. Or
stop doing that.
Was Gritty joking around and pantomiming
and
made a mistake? Because, you know, those guys flail
That's
around.
That's his act.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
And maybe he was going to feign hitting the kid and accidentally hit him. I don't know. But
I'm also wondering, this is what I was thinking there. You know, you have your main Gritty person that plays Gritty on the inside, and then you have other people that do different types of events. Like, I'm wondering who was in there.
Backup Gritty.
Yeah. Was it backup Gritty? And
ex-con Gritty?
ex-con Gritty?
All I know is that lately the people at the Flyers and Gritty have been knocking it out of the park with their social media posts with Gritty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hilarious.
It's great stuff.
They've been doing all this great stuff. Now, we did watch a video yesterday of they were doing a tribute to the 80s, and they were doing a riff on Dirty Dancing, and they had a girl who was there playing the Jennifer Grey part.
Right, yeah.
And Gritty's waiting for her to do the lift to run over, and she's dancing on her own. So someone off-camera hands him a cake, and he comes over and smashes her in the face with it. He hit her hard.
Yeah, he did.
With the cake. And I've seen him do that a couple times with the cake, and he hits them hard.
Well, it's also hard a lot of times to judge.
The judge
you can't quite see. Yes. Gritty's anatomical structure is not conducive.
And he's play acting.
Yeah,
but maybe somebody might want to tell him to be careful when it comes to hit. Watch this, Kathy.
Boom.
Boom.
Oh. Like, you break her neck, man.
Her neck went
Dude,
back.
She went...
Yeah.
Well, but she was also running towards it.
Yeah, so...
she's, like, playing along, and I know in her mind, she's like, oh, my God, this hurts so bad.
But I am I'm loving all these things they're doing with Gritty. It's very, very funny. It's the best some of the best mascot stuff. I still gotta hold the Fanatic up there.
Yeah.
But he's encroaching on that territory.
Fanatic needs to hire a better social media team.
Coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so... But anyway, about this, It's not a lawsuit, though, right, Kathy?
No,
it's
not yet. He said that he has not hired a lawyer. So.
$300 bill and an apology is what they're looking for.
I think the Flyers can afford that.
Yeah.
But you know what? But the Flyers said that they, well, of course, there's maybes all over the place. But the Flyers said they investigated and they found nothing to these allegations. So maybe they don't want to pay the medical bill because is that
open a floodgate.
So yeah, Well, yeah, right. Exactly.
Maybe the chick that got hit with the Kegel suit.
Right. Right.
So we'll see what happens with this family. Three Americans were killed when a C-130 Hercules aerial water tanker crashed while battling wildfires in Australia's southern New South Wales state. The death came in the middle of Australia's attempts to deal with the unprecedented fire season that has left a large path of destruction. Rural Fire Service Commissioner Shane Fitzsimmons says all three aboard were U.S. residents.
It's horrible.
Also Thursday, Canberra Airport was closed because of nearby wildfires, and residents south of Australia's capital were told to seek shelter. Public officials put the brakes on a big residential development proposal in Ardmore. For now, the old Ardmore Theater on Lancaster Avenue, currently the Tropicraft patio furniture, will remain as is. A developer proposed to tear down the back theater portion of the building and put up a 7-story condo. They would also preserve the front marquee and renovate it.
But tear down that Tropicraft outdoor furniture.
But after a 3-hour discussion at the Lower Marion Township Commissioners meeting on Wednesday, the vote was no.
That'd be the tallest structure in Ardmore, wouldn't it, if it was seven stories?
I think so,
stories.
Right?
Seven stories, yeah. There's nothing quite that tall, is there? I don't know,
Marissa. The old Mesa's building is pretty tall.
Marissa's gesturing, what?
Yeah, I was going to say exactly what Nick said. In Suburban Square, the old Macy's building that now has
Lifetime Fitness. The bottom,
plus, there's a whole bunch of condos behind Suburban Square and the Farmer's Market.
The old standard used to be no building could be higher than Jervis, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But there's no parking there. That's the problem.
Well, that's why everybody is, I mean, listen, my opinion, I think, Ardmore does need this updating, and I think condos would be great for them. But that's what the big complaint is that it's taking away parking from all of the businesses that are already there.
That's true.
Yeah, it's going up everywhere. Casey and I were just talking about this condo building that's being built right across the street from us behind Acme.
You see it?
Yes.
No.
Where there's this limited parking space. I had asked about this.
Lord and Taylor.
They wedged, Preston, they have wedged this apartment complex right behind... You know, it's amazing me where they're managing to stick apartment buildings these days.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Like, it's right on St. Asaph's?
Yeah.
All right, here's one that blew my mind. Do you ever go up Ridge towards Manayunk?
Yeah.
And you go past the train station there, the Wissahickon train station. As you round the corner, you know, you go up that hill. Yeah. You know, you can either go down Main Street or go up. There is the tiniest wedge of land. They've built an apartment complex on that.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So those who spoke out against the project...
I'm going to send Gritty over to kick their ass.
...said the historical building has so much potential, while others in favor of it saw this big opportunity and now a loss for downtown Ardmore. But the vote Wednesday is part of a bigger picture. All over Ardmore, condos and apartments are going up or already have, and of course there are varying opinions about that, parking being one of them. The attorney for the developer of the proposed 7-story condo said they are not done. They may try to appeal the decision or come up with new plans.
Businesses get, you know, killed. There's a place I used to go to all the time that I just can't go to anymore because there's never any place to park. It will, you know, after a while, you just train people not to go to a business because you can't park anywhere.
You can't park
and I can
there,
see
yeah.
their I can see their point.
You know what, Steve? The other one that kills me is the one in between the Schuylkill Expressway and the Schuylkill River. If you're heading and it's in between, and then on the other side of the Schuylkill is Manayunk.
Yes, where is that? How do you even get to that?
You have to go down behind our building because it's if you go where that one aquatic center fitness,
it's down that way, or
you can take the canal across. However, the difference between living there and living in Manayunk, you pay the city wage tax if you live in Manayunk. If you walk across the canal, you're now in Montgomery County. You don't have to pay the city wage tax.
You can see that from the Schuylkill, right?
Oh, yeah. You can practically jump from the Schuylkill Expressway into those apartments.
Yeah, I'm like,
in fact, that's part of the commute.
Yeah. Swimming?
Yeah.
All right, let's do sports this morning.
What the f*** is that?
The Sixers lost to the Raptors last night in Toronto, falling 107-95.
What the f*** is this?
Pascal Siakam had 18 points and 15 rebounds. Fred VanVleet added 22, and the Raptors extended their winning streak to 5. The Sixers, who are already without Joel Embiid, also lost Josh Richardson when he strained his left hamstring while trying to make a steal 4 minutes into the first quarter.
And his head fell off.
And he did not return and will be reevaluated later today. The Sixers are back home on Saturday night when they'll host LeBron James and the L.A. Lakers. The Hollywood, Florida Police Department has issued an arrest warrant for Antonio Brown following allegations that he and his trainer attacked a moving company truck driver near Brown's home in Florida. In a news release, police said that Brown faces charges of burglary with battery, burglary of an unoccupied conveyance, and criminal mischief. There was no police activity at Brown's home last night after the warrant was issued, suggesting police are waiting until this morning to arrest him if he did not turn himself in. Police told ESPN that they made several attempts to contact Brown to question him about the incident, but the free agent wide receiver retreated into his home and ignored their request to speak with him. And the New York Giants quarterback Eli Manning is retiring after 16 seasons and winning 2 Super Bowl and 2 Super Bowl MVP awards. 39-year-old Manning holds almost every passing record in Giants history and a pair of Super Bowl rings, winning over the New England Patriots after the 2007 and 2011 seasons. He will be eligible for the Football Hall of Fame in 5 years. Manning is one of just 5 players in NFL history with at least 2 Super Bowl MVPs and elite club whose other members include Joe Montana, Bart Starr, Tom Brady, and Terry Bradshaw. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. We welcome all who choose to join on this Thursday morning with the Preston and Steve Show. And we have ample things to keep you busy and make you happy today, including a shot at $1,000. Once again, easy money. Keep going strong. We had a $1,000 winner yesterday. So your next opportunity, first opportunity of the day, actually starts at 8 a.m. Then we do it at 11 and 1 and 4 and 6 p.m. So many chances today. Don't miss each and every one of them. It's so easy to get entered to win. You might even win $10,000. We'll get to the details a little bit later on. We're going to have a concert announcement this morning on the program. We also have guest-wise, comedian Amir Kay is going to be stopping in today. He's performing at Punchline. We have 2 concert announcements.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, 2 different times. So that'll be pretty cool. And as a charity mention, we have this gentleman, Ben Hartrampt, who is going to be stopping by. Ben has autism, and I've met this guy before. He's really charismatic.
Yeah.
He's friends with John Dorenbos. John took him on the Ellen DeGeneres show. Ellen just loved him.
Cool.
He is involved with Eagles Charities, and the Eagles have gotten behind him, and he's got a charity event coming up this weekend. So we're going to get the information from him a little bit later on. We'll do that close to the Bizarre File.
Nice.
This morning. So we have those things and more taking place this morning on the program. Let's break and come back in a second. I'll run down the entertainment news, which is loaded with, we're headed to court. Folks,
yes, we are.
Almost everything takes place in court today in the entertainment news. And I'll have a stupid question as well. So we're going to take a break and be back with all that stuff. Stay with us. We'll return shortly.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So the stupid question prize this morning, pair of tickets to see comedian Cal Penn, who's going to be performing Saturday, February 1st at the Keswick Theater. And to have all these legal stories coming up, I'm going to ask you a legal stupid question. The term ex post facto, you've probably heard this before.
Yes.
Loosely translates to what in English? Because it's Latin. 215-263-WMMR. I don't need the definition, but what does it loosely translate to? Ex post facto.
What has it been come to known as?
Precisely.
Exactly.
215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. I'm going to go through birthdays Thursday, January 23rd. Richard Dean Anderson, frickin' MacGyver.
Yeah. Frickin' MacGyver.
Is 70 today.
And Stargate. He had two long-run series. I wonder if Stargate ran longer than MacGyver.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
MacGyver, I used to enjoy the conceit that he That's what makes MacGruber so funny is eventually when he uses a gun, Preston, he goes, why have I not been using these?
Yeah, we, you know, back in the day when, like, one person really loved the TV show, everybody had to watch it.
Yeah, oh, yes.
That was my sister loved MacGyver.
MacGyver. And
Little House on the Prairie.
My wife still has a crush on him from the, I guess he came from a soap opera, right? Richard Dean Anderson.
I think you're right.
The Big 70 today, so happy birthday. Princess Caroline of Monaco. There was a time I had a big crush on Princess Caroline. Yeah, she was...
You could have been a prince?
I thought about it. She's a little older than me. She's 63, but she was gorgeous in her prime. She's still a beautiful woman, obviously, but happy birthday to her. Gil Gerard.
Oh, my God.
Buck Rogers.
We had him in studio.
Yeah.
When did we have him in studio?
Like 3 or 4 years ago. I was so excited because Casey, Buck Rogers was, for me, what MacGyver was for your sister.
Did we have him in the studio or did we have him on the phone?
No, we had him in studio. It was like my profile pic for a little while, man. I was so excited.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. We had talked with him, I remember the conversation dealing with the fact that he had gotten very obese. He had medical conditions, and then he lost the weight with the help of some other people. He always impressed me as a really likable guy.
He couldn't have been nicer. And it was some convention, Steve. He was in town for, you know, HarCon or MonsterCon or whatever, one of those.
He's probably speaking at an environmental convention.
By the way, this is a terrible theme song.
It's horrible.
Buck Rogers, listen to this.
Long before this life of mine.
That is, are we sure that's the
that's
Buck
it.
Rogers
it's
theme?
It.
Are we sure? Terrible. Yeah.
I remember clearly hating it.
We're gliding through space.
Yeah, right?
Oh, look at the stars.
Well, it's an adventure show.
There was the narration that started. There was the thing that, you know, 500 years in the future. Dun, 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 dun.
Here, let's
hear
it. Go ahead.
No.
Oh, we must have skipped that part and gone right into the instrumental part of it. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, this is not how the show began. The show began much more dramatically with the narration as to what happened to Buck Rogers.
Kill those aliens. Oh, my God. All right. Well, Gil is 77 today. Mariska Hargitay is 56 years old. Yes, Law and Order.
Same show for 51 years.
SVU. Yeah, and they have a gazillion episodes of that show and loads of guest stars constantly.
Her mommy was Jane Mansfield.
Yeah. So she's 56 today. Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Saved by the Bell, obviously. And then Beverly Hills 90210. Just awesome. Loved her. She is 46 today.
My friend from high school.
Banger?
Is like, no, he's gay. Is like friends with her.
And I'm
really?
Like,
which is
get
crazy.
Her on the show.
Which is, well, I guess I'm, you know, we've had her
tell
on the show
him to
before.
Exploit that relationship at the risk of his relationship with her.
So he has been, like, so he's a florist, and so I think I told you yesterday, and now it's like sort of blowing up. There's that big floral design that's behind, the goop thing.
Yeah, the Gwyneth Paltrow.
It looks like a vagina.
Right.
That was his thing. He did that.
Thing. Oh, wow. So he's upper tier florist.
Yeah. He's the guy that moved to L.A. to be an actor.
Yes.
And ended up getting into the flower business and becoming very, very successful.
He is crushing it in the flower business. Okay. Yeah, as a matter of fact. But, like, what's crazy is we loved 90210. We all went to the to the auto show because Ian Ziering was going to be there. We didn't care. You know, that was back in the day when they used to have, like, okay, you know, here's the auto show. Yeah, and then in the corner of the convention center, we're going to have some celebs.
Yeah,
and
Ian
was there that one
right.
time. And now he's, like, friends with her, which is crazy.
Tell him to get her in here.
Come on.
She's 46. Robin Zander, singer of the band Cheap Trick, is 67 years old today.
I've seen Cheap Trick a couple of times in concert. Always great.
They're great.
I actually started the concert with this and ended it with this.
Yeah. No, they know where the bread is buttered.
Yeah.
They definitely know this is a big hit song, and they're one that you've got to hear when you go see them.
One of the best shows I ever saw was them with, God, I'm having a brain fart.
Squeeze,
yeah. And they were really good. It was at the... What was it?
The Man, I think?
The Man, yeah.
Yeah, they did.
It was so wonderful, I couldn't remember any aspect of it.
Squeezes on that Hall & Oates show with The Man this summer,
too. Yeah.
But Cheap Trick did at my barbecue 5-6 years ago. That was a blast as well.
All right, Robin is 67 today. Tito Ortiz,
Tito.
Ultimate Fighting Champ, and appeared on Celebrity Apprentice, is 46. 5 years old today. And then the last birthday, Japanese martial arts star Sonny Chiba. You know him from Kill Bill. He was Hattori Hanzo. And he had a huge, huge martial arts career throughout his life. Japanese movies and some that were imported over here to America as well.
Good actor, too.
Yeah, he's 81 years old today.
I got one more for you, Preston.
Oh, Brendan Shanahan.
Ah.
Yeah, he banged my ex-girlfriend.
That's the only reason I brought it up.
I know.
Oh, don't call that guy.
I thought I was going to become friends with him.
Bang my girlfriend.
He played for the St. Louis Blues, and he banged my ex-girlfriend, and she called me while at his house to come pick her up. I was in bed with another girl at the time.
Oh, my. You were both cheating on each other?
No. They were exes.
Oh, exes.
But she didn't have a ride. She got a ride from him, and she didn't want to ask him for a ride home.
Why not?
And then I hear him in the background. I hear him go, "Who are you talking to?"
Oh, my God.
And she goes, "Well," and this is back when I was Kenny Knight.
Right, yeah.
Like, "Oh, it's Kenny." And he goes, "Oh, no, don't have that guy come over." Because I met him a few times.
Oh, wow.
But anyway.
That's cool.
He was my favorite hockey player. He's one of my all-time favorite hockey players.
Apparently you're not one of his favorite DJs.
Dude could score and fight. He was a power forward. He was a great hockey player.
He got your sloppy seconds.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Mine.
Your sloppy mine. Seconds.
How do you like that?
I did his. He got mine. Yeah.
I'm with the woman who smells like burned rubber.
That's the one.
Oh, it was her?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Oh. Wouldn't you love to...
He's talk, like, to talk to him about
I
it.
I don't remember dude, having a fuck in like my that, head.
Yeah, I have a question for you.
And he goes like this. You start to go, and he goes, burn rubber, right?
Right. Yeah.
But he was like hockey puck.
Right. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Right. I wish I could find out if he had a nickname for her.
Brendan Shanahan is, how old is he today?
He is 51, and he's the president of the Toronto Maple Leafs now.
No kidding.
Yeah, he moved from the league office back into a specific team.
She chased him out of the country, press.
Good for him. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Ex post facto loosely translates to what? And I will go to Bill for the answer. Hey, Bill, good morning.
Morning, guys. Thanks for bothering me at work.
It's our absolute pleasure, Billy. All right, so ex post facto loosely translates to what?
Non-factor or after the fact.
After the fact, yeah. You got it. Hang on. Bill, we are going to set you up with a pair of tickets to see comedian Cal Penn Saturday, February 1st, Keswick Theater and in Glenside, PA. Tickets go on sale now. Click concerts at WMMR.com for complete info. I remember my social studies teacher did a very good explanation of what ex post facto meant, and it always stuck with me.
I love these the legalese and the explanations of, you know, because this is all this stuff has been years in the making. So explain.
So what he did was this particular teacher allowed us to chew gum in class, which is pretty cool of him. And out of nowhere, he goes up to one of the teachers, you know, he said, you know, whatever her name was, Jenny, I saw you yesterday chewing gum in this class. As of today, it's no longer allowed for people to chew gum in this class, or you were being suspended for one day for chewing gum yesterday.
Right.
And he's like, and everybody was like, whoa, you can't do that. And he's like, that's ex post facto. That's exactly what it
right,
is.
Right.
Something that was illegal yesterday that was legal yesterday becomes illegal today. We can't charge you with what you did yesterday because it wasn't illegal when you did it.
But like, go ahead. No, but what they're trying to do now with like these marijuana laws is ex post facto, like making it getting people out of jail. Which doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, but it was what they did was illegal. It doesn't make it not illegal when they were, you know, dealing
now
drugs.
But you can assess sentences and whether they were too harsh and after the fact. I mean, they were. You know, that's a different set of
it's
situations.
Still ex post facto, right?
I don't know.
They weren't arrested on a. They weren't arrested for a law that didn't exist. When they were arrested.
That's what ex post facto is.
Okay.
I don't know what it has to do when laws are overturned. That I don't know.
That's a different thing.
So anyway, let's head to court. Let's get in there and mix it up this morning because a lot of people are going through trials right now. Harvey Weinstein's rape trial began in Manhattan yesterday, more than 2 years after women began sharing their stories. Four other accusers.
Now that's ex post fatso.
There it is.
Boom.
Let's see. So if convicted, he faces life behind bars. Seven men and five women are hearing the case, which involved five charges levied by two women, four other accusers, including actress Annabella Sciorra.
Annabella?
Are expected to testify. Prosecutors are painting him as a monster who used his power to control women. The prosecutor, Megan Hast, described Sciorra's alleged encounter with Weinstein in her apartment. According to her, he said prosecutor said she told him to get out. She told him no, but Harvey Weinstein was undeterred. In another incident, Weinstein allegedly injected himself with an erection drug.
Oh, my.
Keeping one of his accusers in a hotel room in 2013, Hass said Weinstein became more demanding and violent during their encounters, leading to a March 18, 2013 incident where the defendant decided he wanted more and forcibly took it. Weinstein ordered her onto the bed. Disappeared for a moment in the bathroom, Hast said, then came back out, got on top of her, and did what he did. Hast said after the alleged rape, she was distraught, disgusted, and horrified, ran into the bathroom. She saw a needle in the garbage can.
Yeah.
She looked at the label of the wrapper and later Googled it, learning that it was for an erectile dysfunction drug.
Oh, my God.
In 2018, Weinstein's personal assistant, Senheep Rial, filed a sexual discrimination suit against him, saying that he forced her to manage his stockpile of erection drugs, and she later reportedly settled.
Imagine that's the gig you get.
Yeah. Now, the defense team...
I need you to handle my boner medicine.
Plans to show, quote, dozens and dozens and dozens of loving emails to Mr. Weinstein from alleged victims. His lawyer, Damon Cherinus, has said that some of the women also bragged about being in a sexual relationship with him. Now, upon conclusion, opening statements ended with the defense team claiming that the jury was, quote, poisoned by prosecutors' depiction of Weinstein as a predatory monster. Defense attorney Arthur Adala called on the judge to restart the trial with a new jury. Judge James Burke denied the motion.
Did you get the audio? If you want to feel extra creepy, it's him talking to a Victoria's Secret model.
Okay.
And you can kind of, it should have been over this morning.
He said it this morning. Yeah. Marissa, do you have that? It's number 7 on Steve's list of links that were sent over. Get that in a second. I got some details here.
Sure,
as well.
Sure.
As opening arguments went on inside, outside, dozens of alleged victims shared their stories in support, dubbed the Silence Breakers. Accusers launched an Instagram handle called underscore no longer silent on Wednesday to coincide with the opening of the trial. The post reads, in part, we stand in solidarity with Annabella Sciorra, Mimi Halai, Dawn Dunning, and all of the women who will courageously testify against Harvey Weinstein in court. For decades, Weinstein wielded his power to mentally, physically, and professionally abuse and silence women with impunity.
So, obviously, he's getting his time in court, and that's what this is all about. But there are so many stories that are so similar and so disgusting.
Here's the audio of that. So, this is him talking to a Victoria's Secret model?
Yes.
Here we go.
If you want to spend time with me, I will mentor you, I teach you, whatever. But you have to, relax with me, have fun, enjoy.
What?
A massage, something.
I'm shy.
I know, but a massage, something nice. If you don't trust me, then we have no reason to do anything. And you will lose big opportunities.
You'll miss out on big opportunities.
Creep.
Yeah, right?
Ew.
That a massage.
Disgusting.
Where'd that audio come from, Steve?
They presented it, I believe, in court.
Wow, okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, to another courtroom we go. Cuba Gooding Jr. was slammed by Judge Curtis Farber for showing up to court more than a half hour late.
Can't do that.
No, you can't. Nothing pisses off a judge. Well, a lot of things piss off judges, but that's a big one. He was there to finalize a trial date before allegedly groping a woman's breast at a bar in Miami, in Midtown last year. When the 52-year-old strolled in, Farber reportedly scolded him, saying the case was called for 9:30 a.m. Why are you late? Peter Tombekis, one of the two attorneys representing Gooding in the case, said, I apologize. We hit traffic. Farber said, you have to leave early next time.
Yeah.
If convicted, Cuba faces up to a year behind bars. Next case. Lori Loughlin's daughters, Olivia Jade and Bella, may serve as star witnesses against her and her husband, according to reports. The pair have pleaded not guilty to the allegations,
You can't compel a wife or a husband to testify against each other in court.
Correct.
But progeny? They're...
I guess so.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. The alleged plot had the parents telling the girls to pose for fake action photos that made it look like they were rowing athletes. Prosecutors plan to ask Bella about the photo that she took on a rowing machine prior to being admitted. Bella did so at the direction of her parents, a source tells Us Weekly. The girls could theoretically invoke the Fifth Amendment and refuse to testify.
So okay.
Anybody can do that.
Yes, absolutely.
Bella and Olivia are no longer enrolled at USC, and Olivia Jade is attempting to resurrect her career as an influencer.
Oh, I follow her on Instagram, Preston.
Oh, she's a smoke show, man.
She's a smoke show, and she influences the hell out of me.
Yeah. We have a picture of her in the studio right now. Like, oh, my God, she is just stunning.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I think she's pretty. But...
Yeah, she's cute.
Oh, okay. No. See, she totally...
Seriously.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you give me a massage and I'll make sure something good happens to you.
Give me a massage. I can get you tickets to the barbecue.
Yes.
Is she... potentially going to go to jail, or is it just the parents?
No, they wouldn't be. Here's the deal, and it still, to me, is the most ironic thing of all of this.
Yeah.
She was on track to have a far more lucrative career without going to college than she would ever get had she had just gone to college. It's just the nature. You're right. She's a beautiful woman. Ulta had signed a contract with her, which they have since rescinded since all this came out.
Right.
So because mom and dad meddled, you know, in it, they effed it up. Now she's rebuilding it slowly, but come on.
Yeah. All right. On to things outside of the courtroom. No, yeah, we're leaving the courtroom now. We mentioned this a little bit later in the show yesterday because that's when the news came down, and it was sad. Terry Jones, founder of Monty Python's, the Monty Python comedy troupe, died. He was 77 years old. He was diagnosed with dementia in 2015, was unable to speak as of 2017. But they're listing him in this story, Steve, as the founder. I think he may have been the guy that started to get everybody together.
I know a fair amount about Monty Python and British comedy of that time, and I did not realize that he's considered the founding member of Monty Python.
Yeah. Fellow Python member Michael Palin described Jones as a kind, generous, supportive, and passionate about living life to the full. He was far more than one of the funniest writer-performers of his generation. He was the complete Renaissance comedian, writer, director, presenter, historian, brilliant children's author,
yeah,
and the warmest, most wonderful company you could wish to have. John Cleese said, "It feels strange that a man of so many talents and such endless enthusiasm should have faded so gently away." And then he wrote, "Two down, four to go."
Oh, God.
I guess that's him being morbidly funny.
Yeah.
But John also has, he's got a depression
issue.
He has
battled depression all of his life. But you remember Graham Chapman was very humorous when he knew he was checking out and the way they approached this. We do have a couple of clips, Preston.
Okay.
One is from Life of Brian.
Okay.
He was often called on to play women in the different skits.
Yeah. Here we go.
Are you listening? He's not the bazaar. He's a very naughty boy. Now go away. I'm his mother, that's who. He's not coming out, and that's my final word. Now shove off.
No.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
Then you can see him for 1 minute, but not 1 second more. Do you understand?
Yes.
And it was Michael Palin who acknowledged he envied Terry's ability to just and his almost zeal to put on women's clothing.
No kidding.
Yeah. We have a clip of that if you want to.
All right, here we go.
But he seemed very, very comfortable inside the women's clothing. A certain kind of woman. I don't think Eric Idle did the sort of glamorous drag. John Cleese did the sort of frightening drag. And Terry was the most convincing, yes. He was really, really good at that. But he could, Terry was a great performer. He could conjure up all sorts of different characters.
Wow. What a special group of people.
Unbelievable.
You know what I mean?
So they, at that time, you're talking Peter Cook and Dudley Moore and Peter Sellers and Richard Lester, who directed the Beatles movies, Preston, and also directed the second Superman movie with Christopher Reeve. they had this sensibility that they were taking comedy and tilting it.
Yeah.
And that sort of set the bar for comedy for decades to come.
Five films emerged from the Python crew, including Holy Grail, Life of Brian, which we played the clip from, The Meaning of Life. And in 2016, Jones received a Lifetime Achievement Award from BAFTA. He was married twice and had three children. So sad news that that we lost him. Let me see here. A few things I need to juggle here. This is pretty wild. Jessica Simpson.
Yes.
Is detailing childhood sexual abuse and a serious battle with alcohol and pills in her new memoir.
Oh, wow. I didn't hear about the sexual abuse, but I did hear about the addiction.
So it's called Open Book. The 39-year-old said honesty was the best option. She told People magazine, I didn't feel comfortable talking about myself in a way that wasn't honest. I'm a horrible liar. In her memoir, she shares the story of her sexual abuse as a young girl and the emotional pain that resulted with a domino effect of pressure on her career, which could lead to self-medication with alcohol and stimulants. Apparently, the abuse started when she was 6 years old.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she said, when I shared a bed with the daughter of a family friend, she said, it would start with tickling my back and then go into things that were extremely uncomfortable. She wanted to share her story, but was afraid. She said, I wanted to tell my parents. I was the victim, but somehow I felt in the wrong. She eventually did tell her parents, Tina and Joe, when they were on a car trip. Her mom knew, and she yelled at Joe. Simpson writes, I told you something was happening. Dad kept his eye on the road and said nothing, Simpson writes. She said, we never stayed at my parents' friend's house again, but we also didn't talk about what I had said.
Oh, so wow. Did Joe Simpson, I'm trying to remember, and I'm maybe falsely recollecting this, did he come out?
I think he did.
Yes.
I was thinking the same thing, Steve. Yeah, after they split, after Tina and Joe split up, I believe he came out as
okay.
Gay. Yeah.
Did she indicate how much older this girl was?
She didn't, because I couldn't tell if it was somebody that was the same age as her, or maybe it was in a teenager or something like that. I don't know. Later, she skyrocketed to fame via her voice in the reality TV show Newlyweds with then-husband Nick Lachey. That aired at the height of her fame, 2003 to 2005. In 2010, she met Eric Johnson. She married in 2014. They share three children together. But she said, I was killing myself with all the drinking and pills. When I finally said I needed help, it was like I was the little girl that found her calling again in life. I found direction, and that was to walk straight ahead with no fear. She recalls hitting rock bottom after a Halloween party at their home in 2017. She got sober in November of that year and hasn't had a drink or drug since. She said, giving up on the alcohol was easy. I was mad at that bottle and how it allowed me to stay complacent and numb. So she's telling her story, and she's hoping that, you know, maybe it can help other people.
So she's, at this point, I think she's a billionaire at this point, correct? Her line of pocketbooks, right? That's what first got her on the scene, right?
It's been floated out there. I don't know if she herself has $1 billion or not. It might be $1 billion.
The company?
Enterprise. I'm not really
whatever,
sure.
She's doing well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I like it. I like her stuff. It's pretty good.
Well, what they did is she was one of the first to target places like Target and have their lines in those stores, and it took off.
Wendy Williams and Kevin Hunter are officially divorced.
Oh!
Per the documents obtained
She's available, Preston.
Oh, my God.
We were just talking about what a creature she is.
Oh, man.
To support her.
No, I was flipping through the channels, and it landed on her the other day. My wife's like, no, get it off.
Yeah.
Get it off. I'm like, you're right.
Oh, my God.
I can't stand her.
I have some good news, everyone. I'm finally divorced.
Did you get the video from people who said that she farted on air?
I don't think so.
I couldn't hear it.
Yeah.
Did you hear it at all?
I heard. It was like a... It's
here it is.
It's like a squeak.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I had a fajita.
Neither will receive alimony. The 54-year-old talk show host filed for divorce from her husband of 21 years after allegations of cheating had happened, of course. Priyanka Chopra.
Yeah.
Priyanka Chopra, sorry.
Enough said.
One of the most bankable stars in the world is the new face of cheap $30 footwear purveyor Crocs. Yeah, she's a spokesperson for Crocs now. She's endorsing it.
Oh, wow.
Everyone else is shocked as well. In the first promo shot, she is leaning casually against steps lined with plants, wearing orange Crocs and a matching cardigan.
I'm furious over this because we have who should be the spokesman for Crocs right here in the studio.
We do.
Casey.
Yep. You don't wear them anymore.
No. Actually, I have what I call Birkin Crocs that I wear down the shore. They are... like Croc material Birkenstocks.
Really?
Yes. And
well, there you go.
Great for the beach.
I never liked Crocs.
In the new Come As You Are campaign, several other celebs are coming out as secret Crocs fans, including Zooey Deschanel, Zuzu Hirose.
Yes.
Yang Mi. And singer Kim Sejong.
Those are the names. Those all you have those names tattooed all over your body.
Yeah, I'm
yeah,
big fan.
Huge fan.
Yeah. So they are now supporting and promoting Crocs, apparently. All right, let me see. I can do one more. How about this one? Emmy and Tony winning Judith Light will be honored at the 31st Annual GLAAD Media Awards in New York
on Angela.
March 19th. That's her. Light will receive the Excellence in Media Award in a ceremony hosted by Lily Singh, the host of NBC's A Little Late with Lily Singh. Ryan Murphy is also being honored with the Vito Russo Award. But according to the GLAAD president, Sarah Kate Ellis, Judith Light stood up for and with LGBTQ people when others in media and entertainment refused to speak up, and she has never left our side.
That's my Angela.
They said when the GLAAD Media Awards first started and was a small event with little visibility, she was one of the few entertainers who would join us in calling for LGBTQ representation. So it is only fitting to now honor her advocacy on what has become the largest LGBTQ stage in the world. From standing along LGBTQ people during the AIDS crisis to fighting for marriage equality to now uplifting transgender people and issues, Judith advocates with a unique passion and an unending dedication that uplifts. So they are giving her a big award. So good for her.
Anybody else watch Transparent, that show that she was on with
caught a couple episodes.
Jeffrey Tambor? It's a good show.
Yeah.
All right. Clips. How about it?
Climps.
Climps. This climp starts with this. When an American expatriate, is that how you say that word?
Expat.
It's spelled expatriate.
Okay.
So I don't know. But an expat.
Yeah, why not?
Somebody who lives outside the country. Tries to cash out of a marijuana empire in London. His exit triggers a series of plots and schemes from those who want his fortune in The Gentleman.
Looks good.
Yeah, I'm a little confused by the trailer, but it looks good.
Yeah, the Michael Ritchie movie?
Yeah. In this clip, Matthew McConaughey talks about how he relates to the character's position.
I know people like this in this position. I understood a guy who's just, you know, the king of the jungle, king of the Serengeti, and just wants to fade into the sunset nicely and wants to retire. He's offering a fair price for my business. But as soon as that happens, the other lions that want to come in don't want to play fair, so... here we go.
You got it, dude.
Gentleman is in theaters this Friday, by the way. Next clip. A young governess is hired by a man who becomes responsible for his young niece and nephew after the death of their parents. In the new horror, The Turning, the horror film The Turning. In this clip, stars Finn Wolfhard and Brooklyn Prince discuss how the film's crew looked to counteract the scary elements of the film with a positive atmosphere off camera.
As we were filming the scenes, like, because you had to be in character, it was, like, scary. Like, it was scary to your character. You had to feel scared, but, like, when you cut, it's, like, it wasn't scary.
They did a really good job at, like, protecting me, so I didn't think that it was scary at all.
The Turning opens in theaters this Friday.
It's based on The Turn of the Screw. Which was made into a great movie years ago with Deborah Carr called The Innocents. This governess comes to this to take care of these kids. There was a couple that lived at this estate that are both dead, and their ghosts haunt the children.
Oh.
And it's very moody and the absolute quintessence of like a gothic horror novel.
Wow. Okay, cool. And that is what I have, your entertainment report this morning. Let us take a break and come back in a moment. We got a lot of things on our plate, including two concert announcements today. $1,000 chance for you with Easy Money. And we're going to have comedian Amir Kay stopping by, who's going to be a punchline tonight, Friday, and Saturday. We'll take a break and be right back. Make sure you stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast, 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Okay, I have two. Count them. Two food product and genital stories.
Amazing. What a glorious Thursday this is.
Right? Right. Now, the other day on, there was a, you know, listen, there's an internet challenge every other day.
Yeah.
The one that we talked about I think it was yesterday. It was yesterday or the day before. It was the cereal challenge.
Yeah, which is
on TikTok.
Stupid.
Yeah, you put cereal and milk.
We did it though.
And somebody said, "We think we're going to do it." I was just going to talk about it in case he's like, "Well, we have cereal and milk. Let's do it." And you lay on your back, you open your mouth, somebody fills up your mouth with cereal and milk, and then they eat out of it with a spoon. This one a little bit different, and this is on TikTok. So apparently, people are dipping their balls into soy sauce.
Why? Well, wait till you hear the reasoning why the stupid, misunderstood reasoning why.
Well, and we may have to try this.
Yeah.
Because apparently, according to the myth, you can taste it.
It's almost
a direct source to.
There are taste receptors in your testicles.
There literally are taste receptors. Mm-hmm. The question is, do they operate the way the taste receptors do in your mouth?
Right.
And
I don't know. I haven't
seen
it.
They say no.
I haven't seen the challenges.
Because Lord knows, imagine if you always had the taste of Famunda cheese in your mouth.
That's your natural taste. Like your mouth doesn't taste like your tongue. You know, I mean, it doesn't. You know,
why? How do you know?
No, but I've stuck my mouth in other people's tongues, and I'm like, well, that tastes different.
Do their tongues taste like their balls?
I've never seen.
Well, but listen. So
I may have been teabagging somebody and not even know.
Circuitously teabagging is the worst.
Yeah. I would believe this. It's like fairly sensitive down there. It's I used to have to put this, or I tried this lotion that I would have to put on the
Wait
inside.
Wait a second, can you dim the lights in here?
On the inside of my wrists, and after just a few minutes of putting on, I could taste it in my mouth.
Seriously? Off of your wrist?
Yes.
It
bothered me so much, they ended up, I had to stop doing it. I'm like, this is disgusting.
We talked about IVs the other day, and I have had the case where there was a noticeable taste in my mouth.
Had when they put dyes in your body for certain scans that you can you have a discernible taste in your mouth, sometimes a metallic taste or something else.
Yeah, but it's like it's absolutely going directly into your bloodstream or directly into your body, and it was the same thing with that lotion. And they told me to specifically put it either on my wrist or behind my knees for whatever reason. I guess it's being absorbed quickly there.
I find though, if you've been to like a wine and cheese pairing, after the fourth cheese, my balls can't tell the difference.
Not at all.
Yeah.
You get desensitized.
Yeah, desensitized. Yeah,
I'm curious if anybody, now I wasn't expecting this as a spinoff conversation to this, but if anybody has had anything placed on their body somewhere and been able to taste it in your mouth, I'd like to hear that.
Yeah.
So give us a call, 215-263-WMMR, the number. So soy sauce. I don't know why they chose soy sauce, but apparently this is maybe because it's so
salty.
Salty.
Yeah.
Recently, a study from 2013 has resurfaced about this, and that's why people are all of a sudden dipping their nuts in
in soy sauce.
Soy sauce.
What's the nudity policy for TikTok?
Is this- So I am on it, and I was just telling Preston earlier that I feel emotionally distraught and filthy many times when I go on TikTok because to me it's I don't know what it is about it. And then there's wonderful things like I say, watch what they do with this ship, and they back it in, but whatever the hell. And then you see these weird things that pop up, and a lot of stuff like this, like dipping your balls in soy sauce. But Casey, I've never seen nudity like you see on Twitter. Yeah. Never.
Hang on a second. Here, somebody says, "Listen, if your skin is so many texts are coming in, I'm losing it." Hang on.
We hit a nerve with the soy sauce on the balls conversation.
This says, "Hey, good morning, President Steve Show. Your skin is a permeable surface. If you tape a clove of garlic to the back of your hand and wait 15 minutes, you'll start to taste garlic."
Yeah, I've had that happen.
Now,
I think it has less to do with where these receptors are than it's simply the material absorbing through your skin and into your blood.
May I ask this question then? Is it simply that your olfactory senses are kicking in?
No.
You're smelling the garlic.
Not with the garlic. The garlic was so strong. It's like strong foods like soy sauce or onion or garlic, you can taste.
By the way, somebody is asking us to combine the cereal challenge and the
soy sauce.
We fill someone's mouth with soy sauce.
I'll try to eat
dip your ball.
Yeah. Then Nick's dip balls out of Casey's mouth
into the soy sauce that way.
My balls.
And then we get two in one shot.
Absolutely. And we also have a lucrative adult film career.
So this is according to Bedrich Monsignor, a researcher involved in the study.
Party.
Said the function. Oh, by the way, you're, your nuts do have taste receptors. In fact, taste receptors have been found elsewhere in the body, including your stomach, lungs, brain, and your anus.
So what's better, your anus or your nuts for tasting food?
So I don't know which is better. The researcher said the function of taste receptors and signaling proteins outside the taste system is still unclear. In some areas, they seem to be part of the chemical sensing of sugars or amino acids.
Uh-huh.
For the most part, though, full function of these extra orally located taste receptors is unknown. Marissa just brought in soy sauce. She has these two ramekins. Where did you get them? They're manja downstairs.
There's a whole testicle section down there, Preston.
I never go to that part of the restaurant.
Yeah, grab a quick testicle bite.
I got the big cups. Is that big enough for your balls?
No.
What? One ball? Let me see.
We're gonna need, it's these. There's...
You can't fit your balls in there?
Well,
No.
Do you need to dip both your balls in the sauce?
I've been told I'm well endowed in that department.
All right.
But I'm not doing this. I'm not the one
balls.
Doing this. I got to run the show here.
We thought you might do it, Kevin.
But what we might want to do is take a coffee cup and, like, cut part of it off and make it a tad bit wider.
It's the best part of waking up.
Yeah.
It's balls in your coffee cup.
Nuts in your cup. The best part of waking up is
some dude's balls in your coffee cup.
There you go. So the study found that taste receptors, including taste proteins for sweet and umami flavors. Remind me again what umami flavors are.
Umami.
Does anybody remember?
I do not know.
Is it...
It's a type of sushi, isn't it?
Savory or something.
Yeah.
But anyhow.
Oh, no, that's unagi.
Yeah, no. Look up umami.
No,
please.
That's the guy who trained the Karate Kid.
No, that's Miyagi.
U-M-A-M-I. Umami. Are present
savory
in...
Savory taste.
Yeah. It is savory. Yeah. Okay. In the testicles of mice... God, how do they even find those things?
Umami.
And have a role in their fertility. Without these receptors, when they were taken out of the mice, the rodents became infertile.
Oh.
Their sperm struggled to swim and their testicles became malformed.
Malformed mouse testicles. That's got to be something to see.
Now, the question is, why are people now teabagging condiments? It appears to have come from one user of TikTok. Reagan, by the way.
That's right.
Yes, demanded. Man.
And now A1 sauce on my anus. I'm looking forward to this. I'm a steak lover.
Reagan demanded some answers and said, did you know that when a man puts his testicles in soy sauce, he can taste it? He can taste it, she said. And
now I'm going to Thousand Island all over my sphincter.
How long do you need to...
I don't know.
About a day and a half. Just a few minutes.
They got to marinate.
Yeah.
That's big enough.
So, Casey.
Kathy, this is big enough.
Yeah. Okay, that
but
makes
it's got
sense.
A serrated edge on it.
Yes.
That's
so
all right.
So you can cut your balls.
Don't cut yourself.
It'll tickle.
No, Preston, if you can open up a vein or two, it'll help with the absorption in.
Yeah. I'm not doing this. I thought maybe Casey or Nick would volunteer.
I'm
right
not
away.
Doing it.
We
no.
just
really?
Got a custom-sized
Dude, my
cup for
freaking
you.
Kids are not even in school yet. They're, I can't. I yeah. can't do this.
I don't
this.
Do soy sauce until after 8.
Yeah. I will not do something like this prior to
Do we
to
have any takers?
Marissa's right, already with her camera and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We can't do it in here. You have to do it in
You have to go in the bathroom.
In the bathroom.
Yeah.
What about Nick Murphy?
Oh, yeah. He'll jump right up. He'll be the first one to want to do
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I'd love to see you.
Please.
What about Connor?
Connor's kind of going,
hey,
I don't
Connor's
have children.
Thinking maybe.
Hold on. Marissa has the microphone.
I mean, I already planned this out. We'll cover you guys up, like, and we'll just shoot you from, like, your chest up.
I'm not doing
it. So I just
want
to see your face reaction.
How do you cover us up?
Well, we'll go get that blind in the closet over there. We'll make
we have
it work.
A blind.
We have
like a folding thing where you could stand up and dip your ball. It was perfect.
Screen.
We purchased it for dipping our balls in various condiments.
Anyway, it says here, I wish I was kidding. This is Reagan speaking. I wish I was kidding.
I wish I was kidding.
But I am not.
I am not.
If you have testicles, please dip your balls in something. It's for science and I must know. And men obliged. Now, whether they could taste it or not, I'm not really sure.
How long would do they give? Say. They don't give a duration. I'm assuming at least a few minutes, right?
Yeah, you can't just all of a sudden just, you know, drop it in there and go,
Well, let's keep it at the ready.
Okay.
And maybe if...
See if anybody takes it.
If we think about it.
Let me get some other calls.
Would it burn?
No.
Nah, it's just salty.
Yeah. I would go with teriyaki sauce. I think teriyaki sauce tastes better than soy sauce. And it has a
How
nice
do you know?
Strong flavor, too. Not, I'm talking about in my mouth.
Oh.
Yeah.
How do you know if you haven't even tried it?
Right. Oh, maybe I will do it. I don't know. Let me go to Gene. Hi, Gene. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, man?
Nothing, man. How you doing today?
Good. Well. So, what did you put some food on your skin and you tasted it? What's the story?
Nah, I do home remodeling, and when you do electrical work, when you get hit with large amount of electricity,
yeah,
you taste it.
You can taste it?
What do you taste? Well, describe the taste of electricity.
Honestly, have you ever broken just a regular old light bulb with the powder in it?
Yes, sure.
And if it's close to your face, you get that taste in your mouth.
Like almost like a metallic taste.
Yes, definitely metallic.
Okay, so that's what happens when you get hit with a pretty nasty shock.
Yes.
And so you're like going, and you can taste it.
Yes, you can.
Wow, okay, interesting.
Didn't know that.
I believe that.
Thanks, man. I do believe that. Yeah.
We should try shocking someone's balls and see what...
Who wants to get shocked?
No.
You guys will do that, right?
Oh, my God, I hate it.
I do, too.
Yeah. That shock game, remember that?
Oh, I hate it. It's a nightmare, it's that effing awful thing.
Hang on. Matt works for, it says, pharmaceutical. Hey.
What's up, man?
Hey, how Matt. What's up, buddy?
Hey, so I was in the Army for a long time. You guys were talking about putting things on the wrist. Transdermal gels like morphine go on the wrist because it absorbs quickly through the area. Yeah. There's a large nerve sensor there.
I know they do like nitroglycerin patches and things like that that are done transdermally.
Well, let's try this on our wrists.
Well, essential oils, if you get peppermint oil, make sure it's pure. It has to be a very high-quality essential oil. If you put it on your big toe, honest to God, I tried it. You can taste it a couple seconds later.
A couple of seconds? It makes it from your toe to your mouth?
Yeah. Just don't. I mean, you can't have the bottle right next to your nose because you're going to smell it.
Right.
Smell it!
I don't think you taste it. But you have somebody put it on Preston's toe, and I guarantee you're going to be able to taste it a little bit in your mouth.
Do you want to try it, Preston? I was a foot model. I can't.
No, you ruined that career. How about the wrist? Would you think it would happen with the wrist?
Possibly. It all depends on how tough your skin is.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, man. No, I could do my toe. What, in soy sauce?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to do it?
I'll dip my toe in soy sauce. That's easily done. It's just the logistics of dipping your nuts.
Don't your balls hang down around your toes anyway?
In your workplace, it's kind of hard to do.
I know.
I mean, we now have, there are other radio stations at work here now that weren't before. Like, I don't know if, the gang down at XTU would get upset if they found out I had my nuts out in a bowl of soy sauce.
No. Honestly, we love them, but F them.
Just make sure you share it with Trey when he comes back down the hallway.
Yeah. I mean, if we have to, yeah.
I mean, that's not as offensive as country music.
So. Kathy, that'd be the best way to get back at Andy. Here.
Here's some soy sauce, Andy.
Yeah, Andy.
All right, I'm taking this.
Might actually kill me if that happens.
I'm gonna do my toe in soy sauce.
Oh, my God.
Right. I got to set it on the floor here.
All right.
I've got it in a ramekin, and then I put that little... I put the nut receptacle under the ramekin. So.
Okay.
Now, I can smell it, though. That's the only thing.
It's going to mess with it.
Yeah. Let me get the lid
away. Get that out of here.
Now, I don't want to accidentally knock this over.
In the ramekin?
Oh, it's not. It's chili.
Ooh.
No, it's soy sauce.
Hey! All right!
Do not make me laugh because I could kick this across the room and it will stain all over the place.
He's the funniest condiment comic in the country.
Ketchup, am I right?
Yeah. Wow, that's a salty comment.
You guys are falling behind. Catch up.
I don't mean to pepper you with jokes.
I gotta go to the bathroom. I must turd.
I went to the priest to confess my cinnamon.
Wait, did you just say I just made that one up?
I did. Comes from the heart, man.
All right, I've been... All right, I've been soaking in it for a few seconds now. I don't taste anything yet. I can smell it. And even though I have my
nasal thing
is going on, I can...
Are you sure you can smell it?
Well, maybe I'm tasting it and I don't realize it.
Because you can't... I mean, honestly.
Casey.
You got a stuffy nose. How can you smell anything?
Take a quick little taste of Preston's balls and see. Okay. See if it's made it all the way up.
I got nothing so far.
Nothing. No. And you have a very cultivated palate.
Oh, by the way, you're getting a shot of my foot. My foot is way out of modeling shape, dude. I've lost it.
No,
yes,
stop it. No.
No.
Oh, I
baby.
Got soy sauce on the freaking carpet.
Baby, you still got it.
Now they'll have to replace it.
Strike a pose.
Yeah, don't judge me by how I've let my feet go over the years. I don't taste anything.
Well, just give it a second.
We gave it a couple of seconds.
Given minutes here.
Do we do the balls?
I'll keep soaking while we talk to Benjamin, who is a professor and teaches organic chemistry.
Hey, guys. You guys are killing me.
With everything we're getting wrong, Benjamin?
So let's go over a couple of things. First off, the taste receptors, per se, they're just biological molecules, large proteins that occur all over the place beyond your mouth.
Trypsin,
for instance, is an ion channel, right? It occurs in your mouth and your tongue, and it gates basically ions going in and out of a cell. And it's also a receptor that's all over the body that is involved in pain. So, yeah, it may be useful in the mouth for one particular purpose, but that doesn't mean it's the only purpose it has. Dopamine receptors, for example, are known to be important in feeling happy and pleasure and what have you,
right,
or drug addiction, but they're also important in cancer cells and all sorts of other places. So, the receptors may be present in your testicles. Maybe the trippy one is present in your toes because of pain sensation. That doesn't mean it's going to cause taste.
So, Benjamin, you're saying that this is false, that you can't taste various condiments with your nutsack.
I think that's a pretty good assessment.
I mean, why should we trust you? You're a chemistry guy. You're not a biology guy.
He's closer to science than we are.
Right. My role, actually, is I develop new therapeutics for various diseases. So I'm an expert in biochemistry and animal models and chemistry and all sorts of other things. But the guy who was talking about being able to taste an electrical impulse when he gets shocked, that makes sense because most of the taste receptors are ion channels. They involve electrical currents moving back and forth.
Okay, so he has something, All right.
I appreciate the scientific approach here, Benjamin. Thank you.
Because Steven Starr is opening up a new restaurant called Sack.
All right. By the way,
find out what he wanted to say.
You have beautiful feet.
If he calls back. All right, I'm taking my toe out. Yeah, it's been long enough.
Well, we just had a chemistry guy say.
I can kind of taste.
No, you can't.
But I think it's psychosomatic. I think that the smell and everything wants me to taste it. All right, I'll dip my balls in it.
Are you?
Are you really?
Yeah, bring the screen in here.
All right. Wow.
For science. Science.
Doing this was like a little foreplay for him. He was like,
"Well, now now I don't feel so vulnerable.
Don't be afraid. I'm just going to take the soy sauce and guide your balls to it.
Can we do
this? It's gonna be okay. Of course it is.
You think Bill's gonna be all right with this segment?
No, just as long as it's not super opponent.
Do you want to put it here and then straddle this little?
Take it down to XTU.
I'll hold it. Stop it. I'll hold it. Okay. I'm not gonna. I don't even think I could straddle it.
Wait for a good Garth Brooks song and then drape your balls over the console.
This could work. Stop it.
I dip my balls in low places.
I can do this, right? I shaved myself one time on the air a long time ago at Y100. I did it live on the air. Actually, we had a shower in our offices.
Dude, we all did. Remember we had front row tickets to give away for Genesis?
Yeah, but we didn't do that live on the air. I mean, we had a microphone and everything set up, and I was...
Yeah, you did it.
I was giving play-by-play as I was shaving myself.
I can't see... I think the chemist was right, though, that there is a difference... Oh, you're the shock game?
No. I hate that game.
Marissa brought in the shock game, which everyone hates. All right, so Preston is getting set up. We have this folding screen. Marissa, I'm going to want to use that in the office when you're done, too. Okay. I have my little Bustier collection back there. I'm going to try on later on. All right, Preston's getting the screen set up for privacy.
I require a screen for privacy. I'm accustomed to dipping my balls in soy sauce.
All right, we're getting
set. You can see.
No, cannot see at all. Anything. No.
Just your balls.
Yeah.
No, I'm not doing it.
Oh, wait! You can't see it.
Shut
up.
We can.
He can.
Who?
Casey.
He can't.
He has seen your balls before.
You remember, I've seen it a couple times. Yeah. There was one time on the golf course.
One time at that hotel. One time in the back of a van.
Bathroom here at work.
So I tee off, right? And and I turn around after I get them teeing off, and he's standing behind me peeing. But he's acting like... He's
at the moment
of ecstasy. So he's like, oh.
It was pretty funny.
It was really funny.
That's good. That's a good one.
It really confused Kate. Hang on.
I love
love that. I never heard that story.
Yeah, I really confused him because he's like.
So you're peeing, but you're
I was going, oh god,
that's a good one. That would be great for just family get-togethers.
Yeah, we were playing the sand dunes, right?
Oh, okay, that was funny, man.
All right, Casey, cover this.
All right. Casey's pretending he's a hieroglyphic.
Can any of the construction workers see it?
No. He's going to drop them all the way.
All right.
Oh, okay. I know what I'm going to do.
All right. He's going to get on his hands.
All right. I got him out.
All right.
All right. You got him out. Where's the guy?
Hang on.
It's Lloyd and Louie.
Hang on a second. I got my laminate is getting in the way.
Oh, is, yeah. is it Dr. Kenneth Noisewater? Or what are your testes?
Oh, yeah. Dr. Kenneth Noisewater. All right. I'm in.
You're okay.
Was he?
Is it cold?
They're chilly.
Yeah. They probably moved up a little bit, didn't they?
Chill. No, they haven't moved.
Okay.
All right.
Do you have napkins back there to wipe off?
No. Casey's just going to...
Yeah. Just ask the guy that's on the scaffolding that's watching right now.
Somebody start a timer.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
I got you.
Kathy's got a sundial.
I've been in for at least 15 seconds now.
I think 30 seconds should call it, Preston. If you're not... You're at least... That's enough. We heard in just seconds you're going to taste it.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I
can smell it.
Preston, I think that smelling it figures prominently into the belief that you're tasting it.
Okay, it's a little salty in my mouth right now.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's just part of the smell.
You know, Casey just blew a fart to the screen.
No, I have to. I've got about 30. Okay.
Yeah.
Kathy, yeah, yeah.
I can see your face through the crack. I'm looking at you.
That's weird. I can see your balls.
It's okay. It's okay, baby.
I can actually see you. This is really weird. Hi. Can you see my eye?
How does it make you feel?
It's, yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Not turned on?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm focused on my nuts.
Kathy has the weird situation where Peeping Toms reach in and pull down the shade.
All right, I'm done.
It's been 1 minute.
All right, give me some napkins.
Anything?
Napkins. I got my hand.
Wait, I don't have any napkins.
We didn't.
Oh, right over here.
There you go. Marissa's thought of it. On the other side. Hey, there you go. His other hand is busy. So Preston was behind the screen and did the dipping. Did you double dip?
No, I just kept
just one nut?
Oh, that means you guys
both,
can dip
both,
too.
Nuts Preston?
Here, Case, give this to Kathy.
You're going to want to put that in. What do you call it, Preston? A dream box or a
shadow box?
So do you taste soy sauce in your mouth?
Not at all.
Okay. I figured as much. I think the chemist who called in was right.
Yeah, it doesn't there's work.
Certain the receptors all serve certain purposes, but why would your testicle receptors be activated for taste?
Now, what we should test is to see how long the soy sauce taste stays on his nuts.
Right.
So, Kathy, a little bit later on.
No.
You won't have to lick. We'll take a little scrape.
There we go. Okay.
All right.
So Bill didn't come running in here, so he must be okay with this.
I told you, as long as it's not a horse or soup, he's cool.
Yeah. All right.
Well, that one has been dispelled. We've dispelled it. Has anything, a couple of things we've wanted to try worked in the studio, but often we find out it's just a bunch of hooey.
Well, hey, listen, science is all about proving things wrong.
Yeah. That's really what it is.
It's eliminating things that are incorrect.
And always retesting to make sure your data is correct.
Mm-hmm.
It might be time at some point for another science day involving everything
all
you
genitals.
Can do with your balls.
You know what still bothers me is the fainting goats that didn't faint when we brought them in?
I know.
You know? By the way, apparently when there are classes that use fainting, that use yoga goats,
yeah.
And the fainting ones faint all the time.
Really?
Yeah, for the smallest sound. I felt bad for them too. We're like basically yelling at goats to faint, and they're just looking at us.
You're opening an umbrella in their direction.
By the way, somebody pointed out a glaring clip that should be played right now, and it has to do with the word yummy.
You're right.
So
we'll do it. Go ahead.
Which would be now more so than ever.
Ball sacks are yummy.
That they've been marinated.
Are they yummy though? Would you say yummy?
Ball sacks are yummy.
I mean, I do like soy sauce, and it's a wonderful additive.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Yo,
delicious. Ball sacks are yummy.
Because I like soy sauce too.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Yes.
I recommend
ball sacks are yummy.
Anybody out there, don't buy the store brand. You know,
don't waste it.
No, don't buy it. It's not as good. Like, get like an actual like brand of soy sauce because I always feel like when I get Chinese food that they don't give me enough soy sauce.
What's your favorite soy sauce?
I don't even know.
Is it Kikkoman?
Maybe. I always use LaCroix, and it's kind of the... But Kikkoman is probably better. Yeah. That's what you get that at a lot of restaurants. They give that to you in the little container.
Right, and then there's...
The little packet.
There's no difference at all between low sodium and regular.
Yeah.
Taste-wise?
Really?
Yeah,
I can't tell the difference.
We actually use amino acids now. I think it's amino acids.
Yeah.
What, do you pour it out of a beaker?
No. That's the name of it. Braggs.
Wow, that's tasty. Yeah.
No, it tastes just like soy sauce.
It's just like soy
sauce. It's just amino acids.
And it's better for you.
There's really? No salt in it. Very low
Nick,
sodium.
Nick, I think it's... Well, my wife would have to text me and let me know what it is we use. By the way, she did text me and tell me that my daughter's horrified. horrified right now.
Daddy loves you.
Braggs liquid aminos, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
we use that too.
We use that as a in place of...
Oh, you know what they should call it?
What?
The three aminos.
Yeah.
But it says liquid aminos. Yeah, that's what we
use.
Are
there three aminos in there?
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
If there aren't, you're lying.
Hang on a second. We have a sheriff on the line.
Uh-oh, Preston. Uh-oh.
Jeffrey, who's a sheriff. Hi, Jeffrey. Good morning. Jeffrey?
Hey. Hello?
Yeah, yes. You're on the air.
Oh, is this Preston?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm not a sheriff. I'm a chef.
A chef. Yes.
It says sheriff. Yes. It says sheriff on the call screener. Oh. And we're like, what the hell?
Yes.
You're a chef.
He goes, oh, man.
This whole segment was worth it.
It says here you're an Indian chef.
The kids blew the whole thing.
Okay. You're a chef. So what do you have to say there?
I was going to comment on the garlic and oregano thingamajigger.
Okay, go ahead.
And when I come home from work, I always smell like onions and garlic. Because when you touch them with your hand all the time, and I wash my hands all the time, when you touch them with your hand,
yes,
you smell like onions and garlic.
But that stands to reason,
yeah,
doesn't it?
You smell like it, yes. Yeah. But do you taste it?
Oh my gosh.
Preston, let me tell you something.
If you
hold chocolate in your hand, your hand's going to taste like chocolate.
Well, all right. Maybe.
Listen,
all right.
I hope that whatever town you're the sheriff of.
Yeah, all of a sudden I became the sheriff. Definitely not.
I'll be there in a second. I know you heard gunfire, but I'll be there in a minute.
What were you going to say, Jeff?
By the way, I'm friendly with Jackie.
Oh, Jackie Bam Bam. Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where are you from? Where do you get this accent from, Jeffrey?
Well, I spent time in Florida. I spent time in California. I've been around.
All right. You have a laid back style.
Yeah. When you get home from work, do you put your gun in the gun safe or you just leave it right there on the nightstand?
No, I'm a convicted felon.
Oh, you can't have a gun.
And they let you be a sheriff?
And you're a sheriff?
Wow. What a country.
This just keeps getting better.
Yep. All right, Jeffrey. It's nice talking to you, man.
Hey, man. President Steve, you guys rocking. Yeah, well, all right.
All right. Very nice.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it, Jeff.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Wow. All right. That's awesome.
I like him.
Sheriff. Yeah. Of course I'm not a sheriff. I'm a convicted felon.
Somebody says we should offer money to somebody to drink that soy sauce.
No.
Oh, I already threw it away.
Oh, you did.
I'm sorry.
I didn't think about it, so me don't
neither.
Worry about it. Here's a tweet that says, the sound of me saying la, 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 la is so loud so my 8-year-old can't hear the balls soaked in soy sauce discussion. President Steve, the best part of waking up. Thank you, Michael.
Well, this is a big thing on TikTok.
Yeah.
So when you see your youngsters on TikTok... Yeah. Know that this is what they're looking at.
Yeah. We should take a break, right?
Easy
money. I didn't even get to the other food and genital story.
Well, time. Can we hold that for a
we'll save it for
come back to
another
it?
Time. But listen, there's another conversation we had yesterday that we had to cut short. We wanted to continue it. We didn't get a chance to.
Yeah.
We're going to try continuing it in the following segment. We're going to come back. We're going to do the bizarre file. We'll do easy money. After that, when we come back, we had started to tell... Well, Nick told the story about his dad... hanging out with the Manson family. He didn't know until just recently he found this out. And we started getting a lot of calls from people who had stories that were family secrets of sorts, or not necessarily things to be embarrassed about, but some of those, but some things that people didn't even share till late in life that, oh, yeah, I used to hang out with so-and-so, or I'm really good friends with, like, really famous people or infamous people.
Like, really infamous people.
There was one guy who called in, and his sister was sitting on Bruce Springsteen's lap with a guitar, and he was, like, teaching her how to play.
Yeah, back in the day.
Back in the day, and he didn't believe his grandparents that they were friends with Bruce Springsteen.
And then they finally showed him the picture, and sure enough. So if you've got stories like that, we started to see them pop up, and then we had to break because we had an interview, and we had to do the promotion and all that stuff. We didn't get a chance to get to them, so I'd like to do that in the next segment because it looked like there's going to be some great stuff. So if you have those stories, hang tight. We're going to get to it eventually. We're going to take a quick break, come back in a second. Easy Money, Bizarre File, those things are on the way. Stay with us.
Ah, springtime is in the air early as we fantasize of riffs and rock outdoors on the lawn. Get set for MMRBQ 2020, Saturday, May 16th at BB&T Pavilion. Oh,
wow. Disturbed. Show you the
light. Royal Blood. I only lie
when I love you. The Pretty Reckless.
Sublime with Rome. I don't practice Santeria. The best value in rock. 9 bands for just $50. Also appearing,
Puddle of Mud.
Crowbot.
Dirty Honey.
Mongolian Metalheads, The Who.
And Jackson's Local Shots opener, Foxtrot and The Get Down.
Saturday, May 16th, BB&T Pavilion. Tickets on sale tomorrow at 9 a.m. from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
93.3 WMMR. Easy Money.
Oh, and is it easy? I'm going to give you a way to enter a word and win some cash. The word that you're going to send to us is happy.
Oh.
Of course, you'll be quite happy if you win. H-A-P-P-Y. You have until 8:15 to enter it via text to the special contest short code number, which is 45911. Or you can enter using the MMR mobile app or the contest page at WMMR.com. And that way, you'll be entered for a $10,000 grand prize. Now, you'll get a call if you're randomly selected in this Beasley Nationwide contest and win $1,000. Complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com. Once again, the word is happy, H-A-P-P-Y. Good luck from Meineke and 93.3 WMMR.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Jack Frost and Big Boulder Ski Areas, where the snow comes first. CFPB is open for a winter full of snow and fun. Save big when you purchase lift tickets in advance at jfbb.com. And Bizarre File stories are where we are going. Let's start with this. A mutant goat is being worshipped as an avatar of God after it was born with a flat face and strange human-like eyes in India.
It's a weird-looking thing.
It's pretty wild, yeah. The young animal, which has human-like eyes and mouth, was born recently in Nomadia Village.
We call it Chloe.
The owner, Mukesha Prajapap, posted a short video of the black goat with a strange face inside his hut earlier this week. The goat is seen stumbling around the room and wagging its short tail in the video.
Like the other goats, am I?
In other pics, it is also seen glaring at the camera and looking away when Mr. Prajapap reaches out to touch its scalp.
It looks a little evil.
It may have suffered the facial deformity due to a rare congenital defect called cyclopia, which usually causes a single eye to form in the forehead, like a cyclops.
Ah.
Yeah. Goats may be considered a holy animal in India, although Hinduism names the cow, monkey, snake, elephant, and tiger amongst its 5 holiest animals. However, goats are named in part of the Vedas, Hindu religious texts, and an animal of importance. A goat with the facial structure of a human was born in India in 2017. Its nose resembled a human's, and it also had a delicate nose and lips. Thieves generally try to leave little evidence behind, but sometimes they're not so lucky. The owners of a family jewelry shop in El Cajon, California, says a couple came into Ishtar Jewelry Store on Friday and acted natural before the woman held open an electric door that customers need to be buzzed in and out of. At that moment, the man she was with jumped over a counter, grabbed some gold chains, and then started running out of the door being held open. They got away with about $70,000 worth of jewelry.
Wow.
But the thief got his fanny pack hooked on the door. During his escape, it broke out of his body as he ran away, and the fanny pack had his driver's license, which was handed over to police. So far, no arrests, but they know who they are looking
for. What kind of thief wears a fanny pack? Come on.
The owner of a prized chicken that was mauled to death by a dog has been awarded a higher payout because the bird was a trained actor with movie experience.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm ever going to be right after this.
That's right. Thank you, Gene.
He was going to star in a new version of Death of a Salesman as Willie Loman.
Ute Mislovich.
What?
Has been compensated. That's the person. That's
I thought it was me.
No, has been compensated $1,000 for the loss.
Wow, $1,000.
Of the hen named Sieglind.
You know, we're sorry your acting chicken was ripped to shreds. Here's a grand.
Well, by the way, go ahead.
No, they said, like, typically a chicken would be valued at $20. This one was at $700.
So it starred in the 2017 film We Are Sisters.
Oh, my God. Which sister was it?
She claimed to have plowed hundreds of euros into 10 hours of training for the chicken, only to watch her investment vanish when the animal was killed in a farm in Germany later that year.
It also has a role in The Crown, right?
So today a court ruled Mislovich was entitled to a larger payout than initially granted owing to the acting lessons spent on the dead animal.
It was a method.
Yeah, it was a method.
Method chicken.
Yeah. A lower court had previously awarded her only half that amount, saying that
this
she
is a disgrace.
She was partly at fault. Were you a character witness in
Absolutely.
This?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Gene Simmons of the rock band Kiss and chicken aficionado.
Saying that she was partly at fault for letting Sieglind roam free on the farm, but this has been overturned. Describing the horrible day of Singlin's death, she said the dog raced here into the yard, ran into the paddock, and grabbed the chicken.
Oh.
At first, the dog owner trashed claims that his canine had mauled Sieglind and insisted that it was a different chicken, an ordinary egg-laying hen called Chelote. But the court concluded the dead chicken was indeed Sieglind, which Mislovich's lawyer said was being touted for future movie roles.
That's right.
And thus secured.
They had a meeting with Spielberg next month.
A hefty payout.
I mean, that does suck. I mean, it was only 10 hours, right. But any animal that you train and then.
All that time?
Mauled. Yeah, exactly.
It had a role in Cats.
Which is bizarre. Yes, that a chicken would have.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Super talented. We'll miss you.
Here's another animal story. Sorry, Gene, but it's not a chicken.
There we go now.
It's about a horse. A horse on the loose on a busy city road was rescued by people who managed to get it to safety on a bus.
They put the horse on a bus?
They did.
Are you listening, Bill Weston?
This is in England. The animal was wandering on the highway in Cardiff, causing some motorists to pull over to help. Harry Stevens, who helped rescue the horse, said it happily trotted onto the Cardiff bus. It was then taken on a ride to safety and was reunited with its owners.
You guys, there's a horse on this bus.
A woman and her friend had been driving home when they spotted the horse near the central reservation of the road in the middle of fast traffic. She said that it was shaken up and managed to stop traffic, and they calmed the animal down with some help of passersby, and then a bus stopped.
Here, get on public transit. That'll calm you down.
The police arrived, and we were all a bit flummoxed of what to do because
that's a British word.
We couldn't get a horse box in there in time. She said the bus driver suggested putting it on the bus, so they put the disabled ramp down, and it went on quite happily.
Aww.
The horse was then taken to the hospital, a park and ride stop with one other passenger sitting close by.
Not before stomping an old woman in a wheelchair.
The police said the horse was collected by its owners after being contacted by the local horse warden. So it actually got on the bus, and you would think a horse might freak out if it got onto a
bus. No.
But I guess if they're moved in trailers and stuff like that.
And if they're constantly being hit in the head with a baseball bat.
That will calm them down a little bit. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. All right, we have a guest who's going to tell us about a charity event that is coming up.
Nice.
And I've met this gentleman before at North Penn High School. And you may have seen him on the Ellen DeGeneres Show. He has become friends with John Dornbos. And John, I think it was John who had him on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he has autism, and he supports the Eagles Autism Challenge. And I'm going to try not to mess up your last name, Ben. It's Ben Hartranft.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Morning, guys.
Good morning, Ben. It's good to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me come on.
No problem. First and foremost, let's get to the event that's coming up, and then we'll talk a little bit about you. What do you have going on?
So I have an event this Saturday, fundraiser for the Eagles Autism Challenge at Quakes Pizzeria, Saturday, January 25th, time 11 a.m. to 11 p.m., and the address is 315 North York Road, Hapro, PA.
Okay, and so you have a goal of raising $25,000, right? And how much have you raised already?
I've raised $10,000.
You've raised $10,000, okay.
Last year I raised $28,000.
Okay.
Because of the $10,000 from Ellen.
Okay, all right, so Ellen gave you $10,000.
Yes.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. How was that experience for you?
I mean, my mom thought, I don't know if it's going to happen. It took me 3 years. One day, 2018, they called me and they said, we want you to keep a secret for 6 weeks. I couldn't tell anybody. I couldn't even tell my friends at school.
No, that's probably the most difficult part.
It is.
Wow. And did John Dornbos help set that up, or how did you meet
My out? Mom couldn't go, so my mom had knee surgery, so me and my dad flew out to California.
Uh-huh.
And so they said, you're not going to meet Ellen. You're going to be on the Ellen Tube. And then I was totally surprised.
Oh, so you didn't know.
I had no idea.
Wow.
Ellen Tube is her YouTube channel?
Yeah.
Okay. And you were actually on the actual show.
Yes, I was.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you were super excited, right?
I was.
Yeah, that's awesome. So did you get a chance to talk to her afterwards?
Not really. Okay. I almost took John Dornbos's ring. Quick story. I didn't bring my replica ring, and he gave me his ring to wear on the show.
Yeah.
And I was like, John, maybe I could do a trick. He goes, wait. and I almost took his ring home.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that would have been weird.
All right. So you were diagnosed with autism when you were 2 years old?
Yes.
Okay. And how do you feel as being a person with autism?
You know,
autism?
I'm thankful for my speech therapist, Ms. Paula Barson, at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. She taught me how to talk. Mm-hmm. Today, I could just talk and talk, and there's no off button on me. However, Preston, there was an off button. I screamed 11 times on a roller coaster at Cedar Point.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, you've done the Cedar Point coasters?
I've done. I actually work for Dorney Park as well.
Okay. No, so you're a coaster lunatic then.
I'm a park ambassador. So I walk around and talk to guests all day and turn the frowns to smiles.
So you don't have as bad as sensory issues as some people
with
autism do.
They call me hyposensitive.
Hyposensitive. Okay. Nice. And, you know, with that, we actually we have a lot of parents that listen to the show who have children with autism. There's a guy, Mike, who, in fact, these bracelets that we have on our microphones, his daughter Emma made for us. And she has autism. And she's using music therapy.
She's doing great.
She's doing great. She plays drums and it helps her to communicate.
Wow. And she's a sweetheart. And she loves sports. She loves baseball.
Eagles?
Yeah, the Eagles as well. But, I mean, the whole deal. She's getting.
Well, she's a part of the Eagles Autism Challenge.
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
And then you have Artie Kempner, who is part of Autism Delaware. It might be Delaware Autism. I always mess those two up. But either way, he's a producer for Fox Sports.
Oh, wow.
And he does a huge golf outing every single year. So Artie and then, you know, Deanna Principe, they support it as well.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You're probably going to freak out. I carried the Lombardi Trophy for the Eagles.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's amazing. Yes. How did you get to do that?
So the Eagles actually called me 24 hours notice when they won the Super Bowl in June. And they said, Ben, can you come carry the Lombardi Trophy tomorrow night? And I said, I'm in. So my heart rate went from 77 to 144. And I became friends with all the players doing chest bumps with Chris Long, Jason Kelsey.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then, funny story, I actually went to Dorney Park with Jason Kelsey.
Yeah, we're looking at a picture of you guys on a roller coaster together. Yes. Which coaster is that?
That was Hydra the Revenge at Dorney Park.
Hydra's great. Nice. Hydra's a great coaster.
It was great. We spent 4 hours in the park together.
So, Ben, I met you years ago at North Penn. My best friend, his daughter, is Emily Chapman.
Yes, Emily Chapman's a great friend of mine.
Yeah.
We did theater together in middle school, and she's just a great person.
And she introduced me to you, and you were homecoming
king.
Yes.
Right. Yes, that was my senior year. There I am.
I was looking at pictures of North
Penn.
And
that's Vic Bonwe. Vic Bonwe is a great friend of mine as well.
And there's thousands of kids in that school, and they chose you to be the homecoming king.
Yep.
That's pretty neat, man.
Vic Bonwe was the queen. I was the king.
Wow.
So very cool. So with this and with the event, obviously you're going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And what else? Anything else? Are there going to be auctions and silent auctions, things of that nature?
You guys are welcome to come Saturday.
Yeah.
It says here there's going to be raffles and a 50-50 at the restaurant.
Yes. Okay. Are you going to come on Saturday?
I'll have to check and see. I don't know what I got
Preston's
going on
birthday on Saturday.
It is.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. All right, so that's in Hatboro, right?
Yes, it is.
All right, so Quigg's Pizzeria. So it says Saturday from 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. Oh, I'm like, it's for 1 hour? No, it's 10 to 11 p.m.
It's open all day. You can come for lunch or dinner, and you can bring all your friends.
And so a portion of the... Of all the money spent that day is going to be given to
100% of the money will go to
no not 100% 10%
no it's okay
about the so, sorry the 10% will go to my fundraising page 100% okay. Of like what we raise will go to Eagles Autism Challenge.
There we go. I got you.
Now also if you can't make it to this event on Saturday, is there a way people can donate online?
You can donate on my I have a business card I'm going to give you guys on the way out. So it has my email if you would like to have me come to your school or like an assembly.
That's great.
We can put a link up if you have. I'm sure you do have, and we can put it up on PressandSteve.com.
Yeah, we could do that.
You can also give out your Twitter handle, Ben, which is Ben Benergy, EAC. So Benergy, EAC. And it says on your Twitter post that you are the mayor of Dorney Park. That's pretty cool.
Yes, I am. And I work for Olive Garden Access Services, and I just got a job at Water Tower Cinemas.
Nice. That's great.
So Access Services, I'm their ambassador, and they're doing a great job with special needs. I've been doing advocacy, special needs events. I love my managers there, Jess, Janice, and everybody.
One of the things I want to point out for, you know, or fundraising for, you know, autism support and so on is we mainly think of kids with autism. But one of the important things is people who grow up, become adults, and then have to have some support.
Enter the world, yeah.
And a lot of people don't think about that and how there's assistance that's needed for the rest of their lives. As these people live their entire lives. So it's very, very important to help out if you can. Because I have a number of friends who have kids with autism or who are on the spectrum. And you need support. You know?
I would love to work with you guys. Maybe we can start doing something together. You could join Team Benergy if you want.
Hey, man, I'd be happy to. Excellent. Well, listen, Ben, good luck with the event.
Thank you.
Once again, it's this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. All day long. At Quigg's Pizzeria, that's in Hatboro. Stop by and help Ben raise some money for the Eagles Autism Challenge.
Absolutely.
Good to see you, Ben.
And they have the best cheesesteaks.
All right. Let's hear it for Ben, everybody. Yeah. Ben Hartramp. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We wanted to extend a conversation that we had yesterday because we started getting great calls, and unfortunately we had to wrap it up because we had some commitments. But we found out, bizarrely, that Nick's dad was a member of the... No. I'm sorry.
A Manson's kill cult.
Of the Manson family?
Like basically a top lieutenant.
Yes, totally misremembering.
To Manson's murder cult. He was just under Tex Watson.
No, that's not what the story was. No, he went camping.
Did we misremember that?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, he just ended up camping with the Manson family, and it was a story I'd never heard before, and I've known my dad forever, obviously.
And they used his knife to kill the LaBianca.
They did not.
but we started to see calls pop up on the screener, and we didn't get a chance to go to them, and they looked like really interesting stories about people who had family members who it was verified later in life that they had some sort of connection to something wildly infamous or famous, because we did get a chance to take a couple of calls of this guy who said that his grandmother was friends with Bruce Springsteen, like back in the early, early days.
Really good friends.
Yeah, and so much so that they had a picture eventually was proven. Here's Gum Gum sitting on Bruce's lap while he's teaching her to play guitar.
Hey, Grandma!
And then we had another call, remember?
Hi, Grandma!
It was Robbie Krieger's girlfriend from The Doors.
Yeah.
Had gotten in a car accident, and this gal's mom had ended up living with Robbie and the gal, in fact, sort of started becoming her
caretaker.
Kind of caretaker.
Yeah. Krieger came into a bakery where she worked and figured she'd be reliable, and that's how she ended up taking care of this person who was wheelchair bound, I guess, right?
Yeah, I think so. We want to continue those and see if we could get some stories. 215-263-WMMR. One of them that was on hold, we didn't get a chance to go to and is not going to be able to call in now, but Marissa got an email.
Yeah.
It was from Tim, a former intern of ours, who was calling in about Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
And so he emailed in the story. He said, Ali used to train at a cabin up in Deer Lake, Pennsylvania, which isn't far from where my grandfather lived in Schuylkill County. And one day, Ali was out running, and my grandfather, who was a big marathon runner, saw him and asked him if he could join. He said, sure. And from there on, they were kind of running buddies whenever Ali would go there to train.
He would run with Ali. Wow. How cool is that?
That's unreal.
Yeah. He said, weirdly enough, my mom's uncle also has a story about seeing Ali in Reading, PA.
Here this guy's running with one of the inspirational figures of history.
Yeah.
And Nick's dad's off killing people in the mountains.
Yep. It's so wild. It can go either way.
Right.
It's just it just shows you how the fates work, right?
No, he said, weirdly, my mom's uncle also had a story about seeing Ali in Reading, PA. Apparently, he had a girlfriend that lived in his neighborhood, and he would see him around sometime.
Ah.
So, kind of interesting.
I know it's a bit of a different level, Preston, but I always thought that it was cool that you ended up hanging out with Shan Evans, Chubby Checker's son. And that was completely by coincidence, you know, and you guys were at the same hotel at the same time, right? And,
yeah.
And then you've sort of maintained a lifelong friendship, and Chubby obviously is from Philly, from Paoli.
Shan came out to see the band play a few weeks ago, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, I was there. And he's great, and he talked about the story. He said his dad initially came back here. He had a death threat from the Manson family.
Oh, wow. No, but it was funny because I told Shan, I'm like, that was hanging out with you and meeting your dad when I was a kid was like our celebrity story in the family.
Sure.
For years.
It's Chubby Checker.
Yeah, a rock and roll legend, you know?
What were the people who have to use us as their celebrity story?
Oh, wow.
That's a pathetic one.
I don't know exactly the story, and my dad's told me a number of times, and I have to listen more closely, but...
Did you ever listen to your father growing up? Because it seems like you're learning all this new stuff about him.
Right, seriously. Well, no, so...
You had sex with Grace Slick?
No. This is not my dad. So this is my dad's aunt is related to Customato. So they kind
Customato, of... who was Mike Tyson's trainer.
So they kind of knew Mike Tyson when he was, you know, grew up in New York, or when he was in New York at the time.
Catchy. How you doing?
Hang on. Okay, let me go to this. I'm going to go to Jason. Hi, Jason. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
So when I first started dating my wife, her grandmother was in Dunwoody, which is out Westchester Pike at a nursing facility, and we went in to visit. And when I walk in the door, there is a picture of her and Albert Einstein on the table there. So it turns out, because he came to Philly a lot back in the day, they were friends because her roommate was Sylvia Mann of the Mann Center. And they're all this, like, ties together. And I was like, I am in the wrong family. This is
That's pretty heavy, man.
That's super heavy. As legend has it, and I don't know what the validity level of this legend is,
Einstein.
I keep thinking of
my dad.
Dave's dad murdering people in Laurel Canyon. Einstein slept with Marilyn Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
What? That is the legend. That was a conquest for Marilyn Monroe.
Never heard that one. Wow.
So these are all, again, you know, whether they're true or not, I don't know, but it's part of Hollywood legend and lore. Yeah. And Shelley Winters, at a time the actress was also sort of an it girl. And so this was the deal. But was your grandmother a scientist? Or
his wife's grandmother.
Wife's grandmother?
No, she was just a person.
Did we find out they had liaisons together or anything like that?
I mean, there was no encrypted message on the back or anything like
that. Okay.
That's a big one. That's a really big one.
That is super cool.
I appreciate that. That would be pretty neat. let me see here. Okay. Some of these are a bit of a stretch, but let me go to this. I'm going to go to Peter. Hi, Peter. Good morning. Peter?
Peter?
Are you? Okay. Go ahead, Peter.
All right. So I come from a very Catholic family.
Okay.
And my grandmother
met Jesus?
This is going to take a long time.
Go ahead.
No, was one of six children. And they wanted everybody to become very involved in the church.
Okay.
So I have a great aunt who is still alive, who has been a nun for 75 years. Well, her brother, his name was Father Albert Hughes. And if you read a book called Possessed, which is a story about the exorcism, you will learn that Father Albert Hughes was the first person to meet with the possessed person. And we have stories that have been told throughout the years in the family, and it was not a girl in real life.
Okay, so this is to influence The Exorcist, the film.
I'm very familiar with this story.
It was a boy. It took place in St. Louis.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so your mother's uncle was this priest?
Yes. So if you look at the book Possessed, The story of the exorcism, You will find in the back, it's like an index, and if you look, Father Albert Hughes is my great uncle, and he was the first priest to be introduced to this boy to start the exorcism.
Was he a Jesuit priest? Was he a Jesuit? I guess.
All right, thank you, Peter. What's a Jesuit?
The Jesuits are the ones that mainly do the exorcisms. Maybe the devil got to him. They heard him talking about it on the radio, and then it took him out. Pazuzu, Preston, you know.
Yeah, I know. Hang on a second here. Which one did you want me to go to?
Line one, Mel.
All right, line one. All right, I'm going to go to Mel. Hey, Mel, good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, Mel?
Hey, so it's no Muhammad Ali story, but I was calling because a few years ago, my father-in-law, he unfortunately was dying of a brain tumor, and he was, you know, wonderful. He was a doctor, like really well-respected in the community, beloved, and we were sitting at lunch one day, and it was me and my husband and his three brothers, and with my father-in-law, and it was at that point where he was still together, but he had kind of lost his filter, and so things would just sort of pop out. Yeah. And I'll never forget, we're at this barbecue place, and he takes a bite of his cornbread, and he's like, "Did I ever tell you that Barbie was in Playboy?"
Barbie, his wife?
Yes, his wife. This is his wife. Mm-hmm. And we were like, "You could." It was like spit takes and pin drops, and I mean, it was just like, "Wait, what?"
So his actual kids didn't even know?
No, no one.
Wait
did.
A second.
Absolutely no one.
Why? What was Barbie's last name?
Last name is, well, it's not her real last name, but in the centerfold, it's Hillary.
Because there was Barbie Bent was a Bent.
Yeah, it was a Bent. Barbie Hillary. We actually have a photo here. While you were on hold, we managed to get a hold.
Holy hell.
So this is your mother-in-law?
Yeah, and my husband wanted me to stress that that is not his mother. That's my father-in-law's second wife.
Okay.
I'm looking at it, and I know my centerfolds fairly well, especially from the 1980s and some of the 70s. I don't recognize her. This picture looks like late 60s, maybe?
Yeah, it's April 1970.
Wow. Okay.
God, Preston, there's a crease on every hand from my time with Playboy at that time.
Wow. How did you guys feel about that?
Well, so when he told us, you know, everyone was just kind of like, what? But me being me, I grabbed my phone and I'm instantly like Googling, trying to find it.
Yeah.
And so I finally do. And I'm like, oh my God, guys, I found her. And I hold out the phone and it was like I was waving a loaded shotgun.
I've got it.
Like, no.
So I assume the whole family then scoured the internet for pictures, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty impressive. Like, if you're looking at the
pictures, very impressive. We're looking right now.
She's gorgeous. Yeah. Is she still alive?
She is. Unfortunately, my father-in-law died like less than a year later, but she's still alive.
Okay.
So she doesn't quite look the same.
But how does she feel about her past? Is she proud of it or ashamed or just kind of quiet about it?
I mean, obviously she never talked about it, but when we told her,
that, you know, Dad had said something, she was like, oh, yeah, well, you know, I was young.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
How much? How much? How much different does she look? How old is she now?
She's like her mid 70s at this point.
Okay.
Hot.
Casey's okay. Still in your re-
still, yeah,
still in your realm. Realm.
Well, she's yeah. under 80. Yeah, she's okay.
I don't know. I don't know though, because my husband says now it's kind of like bragging about having a Bentley, but it's after it's been through the trash compactor.
Wow. That's beautifully put.
Uh-huh.
Wanted to show the proper amount of respect.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a Bentley that's been crushed.
Yeah.
Wow.
She was hot, but she's smashed ass now. Yeah.
So the same way a car gets crushed into a little metallic cube
yeah.
is wow. what she looks like now.
All right, Mel, thanks a bunch. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
No problem, guys. Was, take care.
Was yeah. one of your teachers a playmate? Or
that was a word. I never officially saw her, and I've forgotten her name. It's like Mrs. Phillips or something
she
like that.
She a typing teacher?
She's a typing teacher.
I yeah, remember.
She was hot.
Yeah?
But it could have been made up because she was just hot. And somebody made it up.
A lot of times, that would be the rumor that would get started. You had an attractive teacher. She was in Penthouse. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's funny is that we here on the show are that person for some people. You know, so people are out there saying, you know, I went to grade school with Kathy Romano. She slipped over my house one time.
And how depressing that is. Because yeah. These are cool people, and we're just us.
I'm going to go to Amanda. I like this story. Hi, Amanda. Good morning.
Hi, how are you? I'm
wonderful.
A first-time caller.
Oh, welcome, welcome. So, and you have a story to share with us.
Yes, my mother, who's now deceased, when she was a teenager, worked at a Jewish summer camp in Pennsylvania, and she was a nurse's aide. Henry Winkler was in the drama department, uh-huh. and they were just friends, but it was her first kiss.
Henry Winkler!
Oh, that's a great story.
The first time she saw him on Happy Day, she was freaking out in the house.
Hey!
The guy back in the day was on TV.
Aw. Did they ever encounter each other again?
No, never again. Oddly enough, after he wrote some children's books, my aunt is a first grade teacher in Illinois. He came to her school, so my aunt had a book signed for my mom by him. But
that's cool. I mean, he's legendary wow. as one okay. of the nicest guys in Hollywood, but he loves yeah. to make out with everyone.
You know? That's cool. All right. Thanks, Amanda. We appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
All right. I have a couple of stories involving this gentleman. I'm going to go to Mike. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Did everyone wash their legs this morning or what?
yeah. Not everybody. What's up, man?
Hey, real quick. I don't want to hold you too long at work, but my family is long history. South Philly.
Okay.
And my mom's dad was the vice president of a major union, the hospitality.
Oh.
And I didn't know too much about this, but I go back to my parents' house. I go into the office. I see a picture on the wall, and I see my grandfather sitting at a table next to. I take a double look. I look at my dad. I said, "Is that Jimmy Hoffa?" And he's like, "Yeah, it's Jimmy Hoffa." I was like, "Why is Pop-Up sitting with Jimmy Hoffa?" Kind of crazy. So evidently, I guess when guys get out of jail after Hoffa got out, when they used to, I guess, set up these coming home parties, they ranked you based on what table you were as far as how close you were to the family. And there's my grandfather, table number one next to Jimmy Hoffa.
Wow.
My mom, who's like a little girl at the time.
Mike, did you see The Irishman?
No, I have not seen The Irishman because, you know, I got a family and I can't spare 14 hours.
Yeah. But that's the story of this hitman who a lot of people discount as being the one who he claims that he had he executed off. But a good portion of that movie takes place right here in Philadelphia.
Yeah. So, Mike, they were friends?
Evidently.
Okay.
I guess they were tied into the unions in Philly and... My family's a bunch of Irish folk, so...
Okay.
There you go. Wow.
All right. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. There's another call about Hoffa. And this is Mike who's going to jump in. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Morning. How are you guys?
Good, buddy. So you have a connection to Hoffa within the family?
Yes, and in a way, so does Casey, because our wives are second cousins. What's up, Casey?
What up?
What?
So, my wife's grandfather was Philadelphia... Local 500 treasurer.
Right.
So he worked with Jimmy, so I guess he would be Diane's great uncle, I suppose.
So are you saying that Casey's daughter is Jimmy Hoffa?
No.
I might have.
No, the guy wasn't related to Jimmy Hoffa. He just worked with him, right?
Yeah, no, he was the Teamsters local 500 treasurer, so right. He just worked with Jimmy.
Okay.
Well, Diane has no connection to Jimmy Hoffa.
Your wife
her great uncle
is somehow knows what happened to Jimmy Hoffa, Casey?
Diane knows where the body
is.
Okay. Are you saying that Diane placed the call?
What I'm telling you.
Jimmy Hoffa went to the diner and then disappeared?
The shovel that they used to dig the hole is in my garage right now.
Oh, my
now.
God.
Yeah.
And are you telling us right here, right now, that she called Nick's dad for murder? Murdering tips.
Yes.
It's all connected.
Diane and Mr. McElwain are very close.
All right, I'm going to go next to Kelly. Hi, Kelly, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Sorry to bother you guys at work.
Nah, you're not doing such a thing at all. What's your story?
Hey, so my husband's grandfather was a surgeon all of his life and actually was a missionary in Africa for most of the 60s. So then he comes back to work in a hospital in New York. He's working late one night, and he comes home and tells my father-in-law, my husband's father, he goes, I had the weirdest patient come in. His fingertips were all torn up and bleeding, and the weirdest thing of all was that he had on these purple, pointy shoes. And my father-in-law turns around and goes, Dad, that was Jerry Garcia. I think, didn't he, tear up his fingertips at Woodstock or something, and
he was missing a finger.
Well, yeah, but he lost that finger long time before that.
It had nothing to do with Woodstock.
Yeah, but well, who knows? Maybe he was wearing purpy.
purpy
kitten.
Purpy shoes, yeah. But just kind of obtuse to pop culture after being out of the country and treated someone, and I guess he had been performing near the hospital.
Okay,
so your grandfather murdered Jerry Garcia?
If there was verification that there was a show nearby, I could see.
Perhaps,
that,
yeah.
You know, but
it's just like any other guy in purple shoes who wanders in with ripped up fingers.
Right. That's interesting. It's a little loose, but no. Thank you, Kelly. Appreciate it.
Still cool. I would stick with it. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
When did Jerry Garcia lose that finger?
And I thought it was grade school, high school. He was a kid.
It was chewed off by a ferret, right?
Yeah, a rabid ferret.
I'm surprised we're not getting more. My girlfriend or my boyfriend slept with this person back in the day, you know, because we've sort of had those stories in the past. But
well, they would if your dad wasn't killing everyone.
Let me tell you about Brandon Shanahan.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Blues. And then somebody texted in where are the Pat Burrell smashing everybody's girlfriends and wives stories at, you know?
The machine.
Yeah.
Let me go to Katie. Hi, Katie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Katie. So you had a brush with fame within the family.
Yeah. So my father was an insurance agent for about 40 years out west, and one day he brought home a check that he had photocopied, and we looked at it, and it was written by Marlon Brando. So Marlon Brando's son had property out west, and when he shot and murdered his sister's boyfriend, he was in jail.
Yeah.
So Marlon Brando had to take on the payments for the property that his son Christian owned, and he would handwrite the check.
I remember all that. Wow. So did he actually ever physically encounter Marlon Brando?
No, I mean he had his people and such, but he would.
He sent Luca Brasi, Preston.
But no, he would handwrite the checks to the agency, and I worked there in the summertimes, and I would open them, and I would see handwritten check from Marlon Brando.
Dear real estate agent, thank you for handling the transaction regarding my errant son.
Wow. Interesting, Katie. A little bit of a disconnect, but yeah. Still.
Still one step removed.
Yeah. I mean, I have friends that sold their soiled underwear to Uncle Eddie. I mean,
seriously?
Legit happened, yeah.
So for people who don't know, Uncle Eddie was a famous pervert in the area.
And he used to pay $50 for soiled boys' underpants. Yeah. And the way they told it was dude, it was...
He was in a boy band called Boys to Underpants.
No, but they were just sort of matter of fact about it. It was yeah, you took a dump in your underpants.
How much would he pay?
$50.
$50?
$50 to $100 for a pair of soiled underpants.
At that time?
Mm-hmm.
So your friends would actually crap in their underwear.
Yeah.
And send it to him.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I could crap in my underwear.
We know you could dip your toe in soy sauce.
I could dip my balls in soy sauce.
I got $50 that says you can't, Preston.
It's a little different than the rest of these calls. Yeah.
I think after this much living, Preston, we've been sort of trained not to defecate in our pants. It's sort of, I would consider it a reflex action.
Yes,
now.
To not do it.
Only in the most extreme physical condition would I be capable of defecating in my pants.
Make it 100. I'll give you 100.
Uncle,
let me think about it.
All right, think about it. I got $100.
Or else the radio thing doesn't pan out.
Something else I was going to bring up, but I can't remember what it was.
What did it have to do with?
Who was the last caller? Oh, they were talking. Oh, yeah, Steve, the Marlon Brando killing the guy.
Yes, Marlon Brando's son, Christian.
Oh, that was it.
Killed the boyfriend of, I believe, the sister or his ex-girlfriend.
And he went to jail for that, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Okay. The whole family was.
I thought she was talking about Brando killing somebody. Like, yeah, wait a minute. I don't know that one.
Okay. Yeah, Brando had his own set of stuff. He never killed anybody.
Yeah. all right, let me go to this one. This is not necessarily...
What?
Well, this is not necessarily with somebody famous or infamous, but I'm going to go...
Somebody had sex with the... Marlon Brando?
No, I'm going to go to Brian. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Morning.
What's up, Brian?
Not much. First-time caller.
Thanks. Oh. All right, interesting story. Tell us.
Yeah, I guess you could say he was a distant cousin. George John Dash was a Nazi spy during World War II, and he actually was apprehended here in the United States during World War II. I believe it was in 1942. It was kind of a dirty family secret for a lot of years until I watched it on the History Channel the one time and asked my dad about it, and he was like, "Yeah, we don't talk about that."
Especially why not? Yeah, it's so cool.
But you know what? It's kind of weird, and I'm glad you actually mentioned that story, Brian, because some people, even though they have nothing to do with the individual who committed whatever crime, whatever treason it may be. Just by association, get lumped into...
And it's wrong.
That person's wrongdoing.
I know. Yeah, and you understand why perhaps they want to be removed from that, but it's not their fault. For example, Skip Hitler was wonderful.
He was a hell of a guy.
A delight. no one ever...
But Lee Harvey Oswald, you take that as an example. Like, his brother...
Bert Harvey Oswald, a prince.
Had no idea, I've read a few things, and he had to carry that burden for the rest of his life. He decided to not hide from it and just say, look, this is me.
Just do it.
You know, and
Don Wayne Gacy. Wonderful guy. Lonnie Dahmer.
Wow. These stories.
Unbelievable.
So, Brian, hang on. Did it take a long time to shake that from your family's reputation?
No, I guess it was, they hit it pretty well. I mean, we shared the last name. Of course, I still have his last name and everything like that. And I mean, and it kind of came full circle because my son, who was in the military, was applying for a security clearance. And he had called me because I guess it was kind of brought up.
Oh, wow.
I mean, so, and... I'm assuming he got a security clearance because he never called me back and said otherwise, but it was just really odd that, you know, it still came back all those years later that he was being my son was questioned about it.
I think, as you said, Preston, some people consider it, and you can understand it on some level, where it's a dark spot on their family history. But again, at this point, you have no sway over what that person did.
Yeah.
Right, Brian, thanks, what was his name?
Skip Hitler.
George John Dash.
Okay.
George John Dash. All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
So you guys know that Christine Taylor is from the Lehigh Valley?
Christine Taylor, the actress?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Yeah, so, and I found this out because my buddy, his mom was friends with her mom. And so he was like, yeah, my mom's friends with Ben Stiller's mom. And I had to like start doing like some digging and stuff.
Christine
like that.
Taylor's married to was
but I was
married
like Ann Mira is not from the area because that's Ben Stiller's mom.
Right.
And then I did some digging and I found out no, it was actually Christine Taylor's mom because they're both from the Lehigh Valley.
The plot thickens.
Rock Hudson hit on my dad.
Really?
Really?
Kind of, sort of.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Rock Hudson, of course, we know was gay.
Closeted gay.
Actually, Hollywood had arranged a faux marriage for him at one point.
Mm-hmm.
How'd your dad take to that?
He loved it. He said he was a prince in bed. Unbelievable. Now, how was it?
My dad has shared all kinds of things with you. No, he didn't know. He didn't realize until hindsight what was going on. So apparently Rock was in Lexington, Kentucky for one reason or another.
Huh.
And my dad played football for University of Kentucky. And they had, apparently they brought Rock down into the locker room or to, I don't know if it was in the locker room or if it was
the bathroom
where they hung out or something like that.
Huh.
But he found out it was for the expressed to see if he could find somebody to hook up with.
To hook up with.
Yeah. So
interesting.
Rock Hudson liked him athletic.
Yeah, he did.
He
was a manly man.
He liked strapping men. And,
yeah.
And so they, you know, he was going to kind of see if anybody, you know, swung that way. And
oh, hell, I'll do it.
That's my dad.
All right. But I'm on top. No,
that was one of those family stories.
I would be flattered, right?
Yeah.
I mean, as Rock Hudson was considered the movie matinee idol.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was he was one of the leading men, one of the handsome hunks of Hollywood. So, so that was always kind of a story that floated in.
Huh.
Hang on, Marissa.
Very similar to Rock Hudson, Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Oh, from a Home Improvement.
He's from the area too, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And my mom's best friend attended his dad's second wedding, and he was at the wedding. And when
so
I was a kid,
are you
that
telling
was the
me
coolest thing ever.
Somebody you know attended Jonathan Taylor Thomas's second wedding?
Wow.
His dad's second wedding.
His dad's second wedding?
Oh, my God. That is amazing. Yeah.
And if you tell me they did the chicken dance, I will freak out.
I'm going to call a ring.
Okay. So may we assume you can go to any airport and hop on a Learjet whenever you want?
Right. Okay. These guys have been on hold for like a half hour, so I'm going to go to this. I'm going to go to Dan. Hi, Dan. Good morning.
Yeah, it's a privilege because you guys rock.
Thank you, man. What's up, Dan?
Yeah, so my family, we've called Philadelphia home since 1736. Before it was called Hamburg, Pennsylvania, it was referred to as Carter Town. And during the War of 1812, the Carters helped hide the Liberty Bell in what's now Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Your family helped hide the Liberty Bell?
Yep.
Why couldn't they have gotten rid of that thing?
Yeah. Did they break it?
Did
your family break the Liberty Bell?
There's a crack in it now.
It was like that.
No, honestly, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, Dan, so you historically have these facts backed up?
Yeah, my aunt's been doing the family genealogy for the last 25 years, and she's gotten some really, really interesting things. Funny fact is, we were actually up in Hamburg about a year ago, and we went to the local museum there, and they actually have artifacts with Cartertown still present on there.
Wow.
So that's really cool to see.
And they have a statue of General Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Well, it's not that famous, but, you know, it's pretty cool.
He's on the horse, rearing up.
He's on the horse,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And Wilson's eyes are peering over the fence.
Right. Wow, very interesting, Dan. Thanks, man. Appreciate it, bud.
You're welcome. Have a great day, guys.
The area is obviously rich with history like
that.
Right.
Two things. My buddy texted me and said that he actually played doctor with Christine Taylor.
Ooh. Excuse me?
Yeah.
That's a good one to play doctor with.
Exactly.
She's gorgeous. All right, one more call because this is a biggie. I'm going to go to Maggie. Hi, Maggie. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. So we're talking about famous connections. Nick's dad was hooked up with the Manson family at one point.
Who did he kill?
He didn't kill anybody.
He killed the LaBiancas.
How about your family, Maggie?
my grandfather was a cinematographer. He was actually a cameraman for 60 Minutes since they first started. There, he was friends with Andy Rooney, but he was also a cameraman for JFK.
For JFK?
He was a photographer or a videographer,
a cameraman.
Okay.
Did he get to know him?
Yeah, they would have dinner together. There's tons of pictures, incredible pictures of him and JFK.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's impressive.
Try some of these chicken fingers.
That's pretty wild. Did he ever talk to you about it?
I was younger when he passed away, but you know, after he passed away, and you know, pictures finally resurfaced, and I could talk to my parents about it. There was really, really cool times that my grandfather had.
Any peeks into the relationship? Did JFK betray anything or any? I mean, you know, because listen, there's the president or the revered presidential aspect, obviously, of his life and career. But there was
a man.
And there were other issues. Was any of that betrayed or revealed to your to your father, grandfather?
Not that I know of. But my grandfather traveled the world, and he met thousands of famous people. And
was Marilyn Monroe one of them?
I'm sorry?
Was Marilyn Monroe one of them?
You know what? That's something I should probably ask. Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it.
All right.
Interesting. All right. Thanks, Maggie. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah, especially if you have photographic proof,
right,
of the person with this famous individual, yeah, that's pretty awesome. Especially if it's a JFK level. Wow. All right. Well, thank you for your calls. We appreciate it, and we got it started with Nick's family. Oh, I'm sorry. One more call. I'm going to go to Thomas. Hey, Thomas. Good morning.
Good morning,
Thomas. What's your claim to fame?
I just won $1,000.
Easy money. How about that?
My heart is racing.
Your heart is racing?
Yes. That was awesome.
Nice.
I denied the first call, and then I answered the second call.
Yeah, by the way, gang, if you enter this contest and you get a call from a number within, like, an hour that you do not recognize, pick up the phone. We might be telling you that you won $1,000. Where are you from, Thomas?
Audubon, New Jersey.
Audubon, New Jersey.
Bridge.
Excellent, man. And may I ask which way you entered? Did you do the text or did you enter through the app or the website?
I entered text message.
Text message. All right. Well, congratulations. It's from our friends at Meineke. And just for listening to WMMR and the President and Steve Show, we want to thank you by giving you $1,000, my man.
I appreciate it. And WMMR rocks.
You're the best. Thanks. Hang on, Thomas. We'll get all that info.
Very nice.
Next opportunity coming up at 11 a.m. with Pierre Robert. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to have Amir Kay in our studio.
Nice.
Make sure you stay there. We have concert announcements to get to as well. Stay put.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Green Day. Sturgill Simpson. Papa Roach.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
We're having this guest back to our studio as he has returned to Philadelphia to perform at Punchline. He's got a show at 8 o'clock tonight, and there's two shows on Friday and Saturday. Those are 7:30 and 9:45 p.m. Please welcome Mr. Amir Kay.
Good morning.
To the show. Nice intro. To see you again, sir.
Great to see you guys.
Thanks,
man.
For being here.
Looking good, as always.
Thank you.
Though my eye, I apologize. I just put eye drops in before you came in, and I said I must look like a junkie, so I apologize.
Well, what's that joint doing on your desk?
By the way, speaking of joints, you posted on Twitter you want to meet fans at the Liberty Bell if you want to smoke a joint.
Yeah, I brought some good Cali weed.
Oh, did
anybody
you?
Anybody wants to meet me at the Liberty Bell, we'll take the after party to Betsy Ross's house.
Isn't it funny how weed now is now the what used to, I got to go there because they have the, it's commonplace now.
I was walking in Center City on Friday night, and there were like four or five guys standing in a circle, not hiding it at all, just smoking a joint, and that, to me, I was like, that is weird.
Is the law, is it just decriminalized here?
So yeah.
Decriminalized medical.
Yeah, medical. We were not recreational yet. California is. Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Big time. On every corner, there's a dispensary.
So. But the stigma has largely disappeared in our area.
You see old ladies smoking weed. You're just like, not even for my cataracts anymore.
Glaucoma used to be the big out, right? There's a dispensary. Yeah. Did you guys know there's one right up here on City Line?
Yeah, there's one in my pockets. No need to go far.
Do you ever forget when traveling, like, you know, you're not in California anymore, you're not in Colorado, say you're doing a gig in, I don't know, Utah or something. Forget?
One time, I was in the, like, the coming through the airport, coming from Canada, and I was like in line to go through TSA, and I'm like, what is that smell? It smells like weed. And there was a half smoked joint in my front pocket. Good thing I got rid of that. You know, because you don't want to mess up that thing. Going internationally, I think, is a tricky, but flying out of LA is pretty easy.
So,
because I think they don't care.
They don't
really check for that.
It's a problem where you land. They'll just deal with that when they get there.
Yeah, how will they? I mean, eventually there's going to have to be basically like the equivalent of cross platform. because you can't have, okay, I put it in a locker here. Or, you know, how do you?
I don't understand what the, because federally it's different than.
Right, right.
I don't know what the.
Well, also, like, all right, so Utah, by the way, is legal medically, which is, I thought was crazy. I found that out this summer. But also, like, Ontario, it's legal, like, straight up, like, recreational and all that. So when you talk about, like, I don't know how
well,
that...
all of Canada, right? Isn't
it? Is it all... Well, I don't know.
Vancouver, if you ever go to Vancouver, they flat out say they'd be in an economic world of hurt were it not for...
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. They ran out, like, the first day. They opened their dispensaries, there, and then, like, the first day they're out of weed. They're like, sorry, you can't get weed.
Like, hey, Amir, can you get high and do your show, do your act, or do you wait till later on?
You know, it's funny. Like, sometimes if I want to, like, you know, get a little creative or something, and it's, right, like, a really light crowd, like, let's say at the Comedy Store... Like, 1:30 in the morning or something. Like, a late night set, I'll, you know, experiment and have a little fun with it. But, you know, if I'm doing a show, for example, like the Punchline shows, I'll be sober.
Aside from a few drinks. I couldn't even go to, like, Rita's Water Ice and get my order right if I was high.
Yeah, and it also depends on the strand of weed, because some of that stuff will knock you out, you know? And you're like,
Doug Benson, I mean, you know, and I don't know what... Now, Doug is obviously, he's the Einstein of, if will, of
He gets ripped, and he'll just...
And does the show.
Well, absolutely. Listen, there's a lot of guys like that, though.
Yeah. I've sat there. I've been talking. We're good friends with Doug. I've been face-to-face with Doug. His eyes are just slits, and what you see is solid red. And he is
It looks like me now.
He is having a cogent, lucid conversation with very, you know, meticulously detailed stories.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
Like, dude, I don't know how you do it, man.
And I've had bad experiences. Like, I've been too high on stage, and I'm like, oh, this is not going well. Yeah. And I've watched the tape, and I go, okay, let's not do that again.
So, right. So for one who doesn't, I don't indulge, but right. I know that they're getting too high for someone who is a frequent user. What? How does that manifest with you?
For me, I mean, if it's an edible thing,
right?
That's
and I understand that's the culprit usually of getting too high.
Oh yeah. I think everyone's got a story of you know, an edible, because you don't know, like 5 milligrams, 10 milligrams is
right.
A good dose, and then some of these things that they prepackage are like 100 milligrams, but you wouldn't know it if you didn't read the packaging. And there, it could be tiny. It could be just like the size of a quarter, and you eat it, and you're like, oh.
But it's the delayed effect.
You know? Yeah, exactly. And then you don't think you're getting high, and then like an hour later, you know, you're just like, it seems like you're driving in a NASCAR, but you're sitting on the couch.
Do you get the paranoia?
A little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. That kicks in. I've had it on a flight. Learned my lesson there.
Yeah. That's not a good place to get paranoid. Yeah,
especially for a Middle Eastern guy like me. You know what I mean? They go, what is wrong with this guy?
What did you do? It's a whole other set of issues.
100%.
Amir, speaking of Middle Eastern, you speak fluent Farsi.
I speak fluent Farsi. Yes.
And I'm fascinated by that language because unlike, and I know you speak Spanish as well, and obviously you speak English. When I watch films and they have characters speaking Farsi and there's a translation below, I try to follow along and get some kind of recognition of the English translation to what they're saying and the sounds that they're making and associating it with the word.
I want to know what movie this is. I think the last one was Not Without My Daughter with Sally Field. I mean, what movie are you watching?
What about Jack Ryan?
Argo.
Jack Ryan. Argo, okay.
I'm watching this, and I'm trying to make connections. We know you were in Argo.
That's what I was trying to get to.
Yeah.
I go, what other movies?
Right.
But even that, yeah, you're trying to make connections.
Team America.
To these English words and these Farsi words, and it's not even... It's so confusing.
It's so different. Yeah. It's totally different. I was just talking to an Uber driver about this. I guess it's Arabic, because we're not Arabs, so it's not Arabic, but it's the Arabic alphabet, but totally different from that, too. So,
are they related at all? If you speak Arabic, can you pick up Farsi?
I feel like a few words, but it's like I said, similar, the same alphabet, but just totally different words and, you know, meanings and stuff.
It's my understanding, and I remember you'd see ads popping up in newspapers and magazines and things of that nature. That if you have a fluent command of Farsi, that there are jobs for you, you know, with the State Department and also, you know, I mean.
Exactly. If you have fluent command, you're on a no-fly list or you get a job. Exactly. Right. So I don't think you want to get too fluent, especially nowadays with what's happening, you know.
Now, the Arabic and Farsi thing makes sense because we have relatives in Sweden. And when we were in Sweden, we were going to go to Finland and we were like, well, you know, should we... what's the Finnish language like? And they're like, oh my God, it's insanely complex. So I'm like, well, it sounds the same as Swedish to me. I don't hear
any
difference.
Isn't it similar? I thought it was just a little bit
similar. No, they said it's completely different.
Wow.
So, but,
okay.
But it's a language that I'll never. I mean, I'm going to turn 52 this weekend. I'd like to be able to speak other languages. I'd love to go in and dive in for a really complex language like that. No way.
I mean, it's easier when you're young. So obviously, yes. When that child, cool. you just absorb it and you don't even realize it's happening.
I believe that wholly because I Rosetta Stone. I would love to learn Mandarin Chinese.
That'll take an afternoon.
Right. The truth of the matter is, unless you're going to be using it in practical situations, you're wasting your time.
Yeah. It does not. Yeah, even Spanish. I studied it in school for years, but then the most I used it was in kitchens, working places, and I got better that way.
Okay.
So
my brother he's married to a Brazilian woman, and so he's trying to pick up the language that way, and he's doing the Duolingo app. And so they kind of have
he knows where the library is.
Well, no, actually, he's not bad at it.
Yeah, Portuguese to me, it sounds like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar to Italian and Spanish, but it's totally different. You know, there are some words that are like kind of similar. Like Italian and Spanish are almost identical, I feel.
No, they do. If I don't know, like I was in Italy and I was just speaking Spanish with an Italian accent. Don't just Alemán. Come on, say
it. I was in France for a day and I was trying to speak French and I was speaking Spanish.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had heard, if you at least try to speak the language, you know, they'll respect that. And I was like, hola, gracias.
I admire. But in Italy, they do, because, you know, there's a lot of people from Spain that come over. So it does translate. Sure. You know, so they do get, like, if you do speak.
Yeah, they're romance languages. So there's a link. But, you know, I minored in French in college, right? And I got pretty good at it when I was in college. Since then, I've spoken it half a dozen times. And if you don't do it every day, if you don't live in a situation where you need it, it's in the back of your brain somewhere, but you're not exercising that muscle at all.
Absolutely.
And kids have that ability to absorb, or younger, your mindset, you know, you can sort of bifurcate your brain and absorb that language and process it that way. It's too hard if you're...
Oh, yeah, once you
yeah,
get a little
you're locked.
Older.
Yeah. Though, like my wife's uncle, Irish priest, you know, classic, you know, like me, splotchy, the whole damn deal. But his church was in Puerto Rico. So he thought, his thoughts were in Spanish.
Right.
And he would then, you know, okay, now I'm going to speak English. He had been there so long that even when you're just thinking to yourself, I guess that's the sign of it, that you've commanded a language.
When you're thinking
it. When you're
language.
Thinking it. Yeah. So, and he said it was a revelation when that occurred.
Hey, Amir, we wanted to ask, because, you know, obviously we mentioned Argo, you're in that. By the way, you're an airport worker. at the beginning or the end?
It's at the end, actually. It's so funny because it's like this tension building scene, you know, and then like... And I'm in there, like I'm the passport checkpoint where they're like about to flee the country. So this was like one of the first acting gigs I got too when I was in LA, and people were like, "Dude, I started cracking up because I'm a comedian." And they're like, "Why are you the guy?"
Now you've got another film coming up, at least according to us, called Bad Status.
Oh yeah. That's actually in production. Yeah, okay. That's a film written by two Persian American.
Dramatic role, or
it's not a dramatic; it's a comedy as well. But it's called like two women get their F1 visa or something, and they're, you know, I don't know exactly the full thing.
Okay,
you're in a movie. I dig. I told you last time you're here. The Pyramid.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Found footage horror movie.
There you go. If you like found footage, that's it.
It's really cool. I mean, first off, I'm perpetually fascinated by, you know, the ancient aliens and the pyramids and all that crap and all that stuff. But this takes it, and I don't know if we just kind of maybe brushed over last time. Where was that film?
I was in Morocco for like a month and a half or something. It's a city called Ouarzazate that they film a lot, like, you know, from Lawrence of Arabia.
Was filmed there as well?
Yeah. So any like desert movie you see is usually filmed there because it's a lot cheaper and they have like the full studios and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, it was really cool. That was a cool experience.
Another little adventure that I've read about. If you're just tuning in, by the way, it's Amir K who's here and he's going to be at Punchline tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. But tell me if this is correct or not, that you've been boxing training, or you did, with Freddie Roach.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Somebody's been on my Instagram.
For those who don't know,
super cool.
Freddie Roach, he's one of the great all-time trainers. Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao. I think
Amir
K.
Both of them.
Amir K.
For crying out loud.
No, forget those guys. I train Amir K.
That's right. I think he talks about me most. No, Freddie, I mean, that guy, it was just an honor to be in that gym, Wildcard. I'll go box there every every now and then, and he's always there. And he's the nicest guy, you know.
How long have you been an aficionado?
I don't know. Meet me out in the alley, and we'll see what's going on, man.
Do you have any desire to get in a ring and punch?
No,
and
I do it just for workout, you know. Okay. And hitting that heavy bag is an incredible workout. So, yeah, I just do it for the workout, and just the technique and stuff is
but
cool.
But Freddie's worked you out?
Freddie, not – no, dude. He's busy. Yeah, other stuff. So, okay. I mean, it's just cool to see him in there, you know. So
okay,
just
all right.
Snapped a picture together.
But it's a gym where he will train.
Oh, he's there every day. Yeah, yeah.
But he'll train the biggies.
Oh, you'll see Pacquiao, all those
get
guys.
Out. Wow. Yeah. You go by just to work out,
no,
you can see Manny Pacquiao.
But they have a little separate area for where they're doing their sessions and stuff like that. You know, they're not going to. And then if they close off the gym, too, at certain times.
Okay. Fanboy? Would you fanboy?
I mean, I geek out, so I don't want to get in their way. You know what I mean? So I'll, you know.
Dude, how badly do you want to get into that, like, Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Brian Callen, like, boxing party.
Oh, my God. Did you see that with Pacino and them? Yeah, I was like, man. Dude, how did that work out?
So
you know?
we're friends with Brian Callen and a number of those guys. And it's like...
Yeah, Chris was there, too. I was talking about it. He's like, dude, it was unreal. I'm like, look,
Chris Cresselia?
D'Elia, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because, like, you see the video and you're like, oh, that's Sylvester Stallone.
We had Frank Stallone in
here. Pacino?
Every single time they went to a new person, you're like, oh my, is that Jesus? Like, yeah. I mean,
yeah, look at that.
Sure, oh my God,
Guy Fieri's there.
That's not even him.
That's a cardboard cutout.
No, they're like,
I've taken that picture by one of his restaurants. He's got that cardboard cutout.
Is that Ronda Rousey in the background? I don't know who.
Yes, that might be Ronda
Rousey. She's way in the back. No. I can't
sitting next to Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's just hanging at the bar in the back.
Wow. I mean, if you're looking at this picture.
Oh, dude, Sugar Ray. Yeah, dude. Like Sugar Ray Leonard.
Frank Grillo. Bill Burr.
Do you know Frank Grillo?
I know. I think I met him a couple times in the store, but I don't know him.
And then Jay Glazer. He's like the football insider. I don't know who doesn't fit
so
in that picture.
I realize we're just Philadelphia radio, so we're probably not going to get an invite to this party, but you might have a shot.
Oh, dude, I've put in my request. Yeah. I think that's just when you got to really get a thing to.
Do you still, I mean, obviously if some, after a while, and you know, we have a lot of people come through here and you sort of, okay, this is part of the job and so on and so forth. And then occasionally someone will come in and you'll be like, oh my God, do you still get that?
I heard you guys talking about the celebrity encounters and stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, it's because I get to be around the guys I look up to every night, you know, at the comedy clubs, you
right.
know, like I see Dave Chappelle or Chris Rock or, you know, these guys pop in all the time. So you get used to it. But one guy was Jim Carrey that I really got, like, I was like, oh man, I got a little starstruck with him.
Wow.
Dude, I love that guy growing up, you know, just all his movies, all his comedy.
What's he like now? Because he seems very tortured.
I don't know if you look. I don't. You know, if you follow him.
Yeah.
You know, he went through like this transition, you know, to where. But he was just super cool when he came down to earth, when he came to the comedy club, and he spoke with the comics in the parking lot for about, you know, like 2 hours, just telling his old story. So
see, that's great.
It was just like cool. He was just super, you know. Down to earth, which I didn't expect. I didn't know if he was going to be on some other thing, like telling us, you know.
So we,
this is life is about something now. See? Yeah. Whatever, you know. Yeah. But he was just he was reminiscing because he hadn't been to the Comedy Store in years, and he had come back, and this was when he was doing what was the I'm Dying Up Here? Do you remember that show on Showtime?
Yes,
it was about, comedy in the 70s and 80s.
Right,
the,
right.
The comedy boom.
Yeah,
it took place around the Comedy Store, so he was coming to do some, you know, research and scouting for the show. And it was just super cool to get to talk to him like that. You know?
It's funny though because we stay away from politics on the show because if you want to go get that, you know where to go to get that. But mm-hmm. but the truth of the matter is that I think he's a guy who just got so wrapped up in it. It seemed like we've talked to some people who said I just have to walk away.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with it. It just not. You know,
yeah.
I loved his comedy stuff that he would.
I mean, some of the most brilliant stuff. I mean, the performance Liar was on
Dumb
the
and
other
Dumber.
Day.
I mean, the shows are just incredible. And then I got an opportunity recently to work with the Farrelly Brothers, which was like another like that's. I've been writing a little bit, doing some punch up work for the two last projects the Farrelly Brothers did, which is really cool. The Now and Louder Milk, which is already out.
What is that one?
Louder Milk is with Ron Livingston. Will Sasso's in it. I don't know if you guys.
Yeah, Will Sasso's great. Yeah,
but it's a really funny show.
It's a show. Where can we find?
That's on the AT&T platform.
Okay,
That's on there. There's so many different streams.
Because Peter Farrelly did the Green Book.
Oh,
right?
This is Louder Milk. Yeah, so they pulled up a scene from Louder Milk, but it's really cool. They shoot it in Vancouver, and this last season I got to work with Peter Farrelly and punch up all the episodes, and then the Now, which is their new project. That's with I'm super stoked on that. That's with Bill Murray.
Wow.
And Dave Franco.
Let me ask you, with all of the, we talk about this. We sort of celebrate and bemoan the fact, you know, all the time that there's nothing on to watch. There's nothing good. Now there's too much. I have no idea that these shows exist.
Nobody, it's like you wouldn't even know, and you don't even know. This one's on Quibi. Like, have you ever heard of Quibi?
I have heard of Quibi. Yeah.
Okay, so like I don't even know if any shows that's come out yet. It's like. I don't know where to find it.
You know the platforms exist. You don't quite know where to get it, if you have it, if you have access, if it's a stream only, if it's internet only.
It's just, I feel like it's going back to the, you know, cable when they packed, bundled everything, and then just, I want something like that where Hulu, HBO, everything.
They have to because, so what they're, you know, you cut the cord to save cost, right?
Right.
And now you have to buy all these things separately, and now you're back up to a $300, quote unquote, cable bill.
Exactly.
You're going to have to package these things once again. I think it's going to come sort of
it's full circle again, and then it's going to be like you get the one bundle thing.
So you're writing, you know, does it actually drop the pay level down because is it not necessarily union,
because all these new, you know, streaming platforms are trying to compete, so they got to, you know, to get a guy like, you know, guys like the Fairley brothers, they got to, you know,
throw some money at them.
So that's why they're going to these things. So it doesn't really mess up the money. It's just like
you want it to be seen.
Viewership is the thing, because right now Netflix is king, you know, so if you have something on Netflix, of course it's going to get seen. But, you know, if you have something on the lesser-known platform,
right.
Like, okay,
that can be great. It can be great stuff, but it's going to get lost.
Well, your good talent and or good content and talent will still rise to the top.
Hopefully. I feel like they'll get seen.
Yeah. But you mentioned, it's funny because you mentioned that, you know, the golden age of comedy with the Jim Carrey special. I kind of feel like we're in that now.
Oh, this is the second boom, 100%. I mean, comedy's, I think, hotter than ever now. You go to any of the clubs, they're packed. I mean, the Comedy Store has 3 showrooms in L.A., the Laugh Factory. And then the Improv has 2, and they're just, every one of them is just packed every night.
Hardworking, dedicated, but funny comics are just accessible everywhere.
Oh, yeah, and there's way more comedians now than, I don't know if it's Instagram or everybody wants to be funny. You know, like, I don't know, because they're seeing it so much, and everyone now wants to be an influencer or a comedian or something, so they're just out. There's a billion open micers now. So
yeah. Well, you're hilarious. We were watching a video just quickly earlier on your Twitter page. So you took actual footage from this lunatic freaking out, news footage, this lunatic freaking out on a bus, kicking his way out the door. He spits on the bus driver, but you can't see the bus driver. And then you edited in footage of you as the bus driver explaining the reason he was doing that is he desperately wanted to get out of the bus to purchase tickets to
my show.
Yeah.
You had to buy it, man. One night. He said one night only.
Are a lot of fun to do.
You've done that before. I remember last time.
I did it actually with what did I do last year? I did it for
Rocky?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew. I was telling you.
Yeah, I knocked on his door
Get out of here. Leave me alone. I love that stuff.
Oh, cool.
Do you just do that on your computer?
It's just fun to do. Yeah, man. I'll edit it together on iMovie or something. You know,
that's great.
It looks like part of the movie.
Perfect way to... Yeah, and that's part and parcel of your stand-up, which is hilarious as well. So.
I have some tickets for you to see Amir tonight at 8 o'clock at Punchline Philly. It is a 21 and over show. You can buy the tickets if you don't get through at punchlinephilly.com, but I need to give these away today, right, Case?
Well, yeah, because the show's tonight.
The show's tonight. All right, so I have 5 of these.
Well, we have is it just for the tonight show?
Well, let's see.
Tonight.
Hot damn.
Five shows.
Yeah, I got 5. I have 5 pairs of tickets to give away, and we'll take the first 5 callers at 215-263-WMMR. You will be able to go and see Amir. Like I said, the show starts at 8 o'clock. It's at Punchline. If you want to get tickets for the other shows, you can go to punchlinephilly.com. And that's tomorrow night and Saturday, and those shows are 7:30 and 9:45 p.m. So don't miss them while he is here in town. Hey, thanks for stopping by, man.
Thanks for having me, guys. It was a pleasure, man.
Great to see you.
Good to see you guys.
Amir K, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Taking a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
It's MMR's Easy Money Contest.
Just won $1,000, huh?
Yeah, I did, man.
Your shot at $1,000 cash 5 times every weekday.
Are you serious?
Tune in at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., as well as 1, 4, and 6 p.m. to hear that hour's winning keyword. One random entry wins $1,000 in cash every time.
Thank you so much.
You guys are awesome.
MMR's Easy Money.
Ryan, congratulations. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, sir. MMR Rock.
You won $1,000.
$1,000.
I can't believe this.
Complete contest rules at WMMR.com.
93.3
WMMR. Everything that rocks, baby.
Fantastic, man.
I love WMMR.
Powered by Meineke. Total car care since 1972.
All right, so here's what I had noticed. Well, it's not a noticer thing.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, my God.
The noticer just came onto the scene. He's noticed something, and he's excited. We can tell.
It's a big friggin' deal at MMR. And so it's for Spring Mountain, which I love Spring Mountain. I'm like 4 miles from Spring Mountain.
It's really close, and you love it.
I do, but we have the... You're going to love this. It says, get an all-area lift ticket to Spring Mountain Adventures valid all days for the 2020 season for $24. That's half off.
Wait, what is this?
It's a lift ticket for Spring Mountain.
$24.
It's valid for any days.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
It's one lift ticket. It's not, yeah. And it's
I'm taking Jace. We started going there last year, but I was actually just looking on their website yesterday.
Okay. Well, you need to go on WMMR.com.
Okay, perfect.
Because it's half
I'm so
off.
Glad I didn't buy it.
$24.
You can thank the noticer for that.
That's right. Access to 8 trails, 6 lifts, and 2 terrain parks, which is awesome. So I learned how to snowboard over at Spring Mountain. I don't do it anymore because my knees are bad. But I love that place.
And, is that where you go to the outdoor cooking, too?
The Tiki Bar. Yes, thank you very much. Yep, and you can get this deal now only through Sunday at WMMR.com while supplies last. I think you... What do you have to click on when you go to WMMR.com?
Busty Asians.
No, not... Hang on. I'm going to click on WMMR.com right now because I think it is... It's loading. It's loading.
I'm looking at it now.
I think people are jumping on because it's getting...
Yeah, you don't want to... And these deals, by the way, we have stuff every week.
Mm-hmm.
Take advantage of it.
Events, contests, on demand, connect, advertise, discovery, music, DJs.
So good luck.
Yeah. No, we want to make this as easy as possible. That's why I'm going through here.
Here you go.
Eric Simon is the one.
There's a search button on the left-hand side. Just type in deal.
Well, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Keyword. Yeah.
Keyword deal. Search deal.
Deal.
And it'll pop right up. It's the big friggin' deal for this week.
D E E L.
No.
D E A L. Dude. D O O D.
Unless you're Sarah Palin. Dill.
Somebody texted me the word dude. D O O D. I'm like, do you really think it's spelled that way, or do you just spell it that way for fun?
Yeah.
Marissa?
So if you go to WMR.com and you scroll down on the website, we have all these things called ribbons. You can see different podcasts that were posted up. And all the way at the bottom, there's one called Taking Care of Business. And so you'll see all the deals that we're offering at the moment and contests that are coming up.
Oh, I love that.
The website has a lot of cool stuff on it.
Mm. Marissa busts her ass to make sure that trying to always improve everything on the site and add content to social media.
Oh, thanks, Steve. Yeah, you know, we put so many great, like, so much great content and podcasts up, and you can't necessarily, like, post them on Instagram, but we tell people about them. But, yeah, visit there, and the Rock Shop I'm seeing there. There's so much stuff on there. Yeah.
You can buy a calendar.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And find out when the next calendar is next Friday at Piccalilli.
Piccalilli! Are you going to be there, Marissa?
Yes.
Okay. When is that?
Next Friday, the 31st.
Chicken right. Fingers!
Nice. Yeah, the chicken wings are wonderful.
They're really good.
All right, so there you go. I thought you might like that Spring Mountain half-off thing. It's pretty solid.
Excellent.
Let's do the... Oh, this, yeah, I did notice that. I'm sorry.
That was the noticer saying adios.
All right, let's do the V5.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
B-File this morning brought to you by Robbins Diamonds and Tax-Free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. A road rage incident turned deadly after two women in a sedan got into a fight with a motorcyclist in Hollywood and followed him to a residential street. And one of the women inadvertently fatally struck the other woman in their car. It's really weird.
Whoa.
So... That's why I included it in the bizarre.
So they were both going after somebody else, and they ended up killing the other.
One kills the other. So the series of events began around 12:30 in the morning on Sunset Avenue in Hollywood. The two women, both 26, were in a Mercedes when they became involved in an altercation with a man on a motorcycle. The pair, who were friends, followed the motorcyclist, and that's where the passenger exited the Mercedes and confronted the motorcycle driver. The woman behind the wheel then tried to drive away, police said, but she crashed into a tree on a sidewalk in front of a residential complex. The driver somehow ended up outside of the car and became pinned between the vehicle and the tree. Her friend, the passenger who had exited the Mercedes, returned to the vehicle, tried to move it, and she ran over the driver while she was trying to leave. Isn't that weird?
It's incredibly weird. I would have to see a diagram of how this all played out because it defies logic.
Now, video from the scene showed the woman's body covered in a sheet. Meanwhile, the second woman ran away from the scene. The motorcyclist stayed right there and cooperated with investigators. So,
hey, so what happened? I don't know.
Sounded like the women were the instigators in this. Here's a weird little way to express jealousy, but whatever. A man in Austin, Texas, waited outside his ex-girlfriend's apartment complex. Then he jumped out of a bush to steal a bag of Burger King food from her hand. He took the meal to his own apartment, which is in the same complex, by the way, and he later told police he was upset because another man had bought that meal for her. So he stole her Burger King bag.
You're never going to have it your way.
And he has been charged with theft.
With Hamburglary.
Yeah. For that. A Houston grandmother has run over and killed one of her accomplices in a U-Haul truck. This is similar to the other story.
Just a bad day for trying to run people over. It seems so simple.
Well, she was acting as the getaway driver in a high-speed chase after a burglary. The incident occurred Tuesday morning when Dawana Thomas, a 54-year-old grandmother of seven, pulled up to a Sonny's Food Mart with three accomplices in the truck.
Kill her, Grandma, kill her.
The three men she was driving then jumped out of the U-Haul, broke into the store using bolt cutters and cut off the locks while Thomas acted as a getaway driver by waiting outside while the men burglarized the inside.
Hi, Grandma.
While inside the store, surveillance... Do we have that whole clip, by the way?
Sure.
While inside the store, surveillance footage shows the suspects stealing beer, T-shirts, and smoking paraphernalia. They were really aiming high.
Oh, absolutely. They went for the big stuff. Stuff you could sell overseas.
They also tried to break into the ATM inside with the bolt cutters, but failed before making off with their loot.
Hi, Grandma.
That was the code. That was to bring the getaway car around.
Yeah. They had two-way radios.
Right,
and when you hear this...
Yeah. Hi, Grandma.
I'll be right there.
An off-duty officer who happened to be at the scene witnessed...
Both you and I are sniffling like crazy.
I know. Witnessed the burglary and called other officers for support as the high-speed chase began. The chase was 25 miles and lasted 26 minutes.
Hi, Grandma.
At one point during the chase, one of the suspects jumped out of the moving vehicle but was arrested by some pursuing officers. When a second man tried to do the same thing, he fell off the U-Haul while clinging to the passenger side mirror and ended up being run over and killed when he went under the rear passenger side tire of the truck. Wow. The grandma allegedly has a lengthy criminal history, including charges of robbery, auto theft, and drug convictions. Police also believe the grandmother was either drunk or high during the criminal
activity. What a grandma. At 54, she has seven grandchildren?
I know. I was thinking the same thing. Thomas had her first court appearance on Tuesday evening, by the way.
Hi, Grandma.
Hi, Grandma.
A custodian. Listen to this. A custodian who worked at a Hunterdon County, New Jersey school until 2017, when he was fired after being accused of stealing a gift wrapped box of candy around Christmas and what he described as a misunderstanding, has filed
bastard
a lawsuit against the district. Peter Merrow, 58 years old, said in the suit he thought that the wrapped boxes he came across in the maintenance room at Reddington Middle School were meant as a year-end thank you to the crew from staff.
You're fine.
He said, I chose one and I put it in my car and I was happy to be thought of by the staff. About 20 minutes later, he says he was called into the office for a meeting with the principal, vice principal, two supervisors, and two police officers.
Oh, my God.
He said, they asked me if I took one of the gifts and I said yes. They then said I intentionally stole a box of Christmas candy worth $20. I said it was a mistake. Morrow states in the suit, they did not believe me. They said that they had me on camera putting the gift in my car. Morrow said he told them that he had keys to every area of the school. Anything more, he said, I found laptops, jewelry, cell phones, and other items of value and promptly brought them to the office. He states in the suit, I would not risk my job for a box of candy. Morrow said that the principal told him he was fired, demanded his badge and keys.
You know what you are? You're what we call a candy eater.
He said, I was stunned. I could not understand why they were doing this. There were six people in the room from for the school and myself. I was overwhelmed and disoriented. He said the principal instructed the police officer to arrest him for theft and remove him from the premises. He was charged with theft of movable property. They eventually dropped that, but he still lost his job.
No.
It sounds like a simple misunderstanding.
It
you know?
Does.
Effing people.
Sons right. of bitches.
And there you go. That's what we have in the bizarre file for you this morning.
Hi, Grandma.
All right. Let's, should we come back and do the concert announcements and music news?
Yeah, you know, we'll just do both.
Yeah, then. All right. We'll do that. We'll take a quick break. We'll ask a question about today's program, see if you've been paying attention. And we'll have a concert announcement, two of them, in fact, as well as music news. So we'll do that in a moment. Stay with us.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush at PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're going to do the lesson question today, give away a pair of tickets. As we, the Preston and Steve Show, present True TV's Impractical Jokers, the Scoopski Potatoes Tour, Friday, August 14th at the Man. And let's see, we have a question for you. Harvey Weinstein can't use the ex post facto legal defense, but his lawyers are attempting to use which defense instead? That's kind of like ex post facto. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you're listening and know the answer. Harvey Weinstein can't use the ex post facto legal defense, but his lawyers are attempting to use which defense instead? 215-263-WMMR. While you are calling in, we shall do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by Lee's Hoagie House. You can make your big game party the best ever with award-winning hoagies and cheesesteaks from Lee's Hoagie House. Lee's can create your party, and cater your party.
Yes!
No matter the size, find the location closest to you at leeshoagiehouse.com. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Nick Cannon, staunchly denying Orlando Brown's claims that he performed oral sex on the former That's So Raven actor. And to make matters worse, Brown says he dropped a load on Cannon's turban.
Oh my God.
It's just disgusting. And we heard about this. Eli Manning reportedly set to announce his retirement during a press conference this Friday. Manning apparently told the owner of the New York Giants that he wants to go out now while he is still on top of the middle. And finally, Hallmark Christmas movie perennial. Jesse Metcalf has split with his fiancée of 4 years, Cara Santana. Metcalf explained that when he asked Cara if she would marry him, that it was a hypothetical question. And that's your Hollywood track.
Right. Let's get an answer. Harvey Weinstein can't use the ex post facto legal defense, but his lawyers are attempting which defense instead. And I will go to Anthony. Anthony, you're on the air.
Hey, sorry about you guys at work.
Nah, you're good, man. Do you know the answer? You know what legal defense they're going to use?
Yep. Expose fatso.
It's close enough, yeah. Hang on. Not expose, but ex post fatso is correct, yes. So, hey, Steve's got his bell. Anthony, we are going to set you up with a pair of tickets for President Steve Show presenting True TV's Impractical Jokers, the Scoopski Potatoes Tour starring the Tenderloins, Friday, August 14th at the...
You know what I'm thinking, Press.
What?
Stephen Pierre out on the road.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Anyway, At The Man, tickets are on sale now, WMMR.com for complete details. There is video footage of Pierre trying to play Heart of Gold from Neil Young on the guitar yesterday.
Amazing.
And before he even starts, God knows how he did it, he got the guitar strings caught in the microphone stand on the mic.
It's amazing.
And it's a peek into the first we see of Pierre every morning and what it's like as he starts the day.
Pierre's own phrase, the one that he utters most often, I think, is why we love Pierre. And that phrase is simple two words, oh dear.
Oh dear.
Oh dear.
Mm-hmm.
Oh dear.
I think that clearly illustrates who Pierre Robert is. But you need to see this video we posted on social media yesterday. Casey, before I do the intro for music news and all that stuff, I think we should do these concert announcements. I apologize. I should have done one earlier this morning, but I'm going to get to it now. This show will be at BB&T Pavilion. It is a Thursday. It is in August. August 6th, by the way. Tickets won't go on sale till... they go on sale tomorrow, actually. No.
No?
Not,
what?
No.
No?
They go on sale next Friday. They go on a week from tomorrow. But MMR and a lot of people are very happy to welcome back Jimmy Buffett. Yay! Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefer Band, the Slack Tide Tour 2020, will be back in town. And they, like I said, they're going to be BB&T Pavilion Thursday, August 6th. Tickets on sale next Friday, the 31st at 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster.com. You can listen and win tickets the rest of this week and next week, of course, with Pierre Robert. Complete details at WMMR.com, by the way. I thought we heard that he hadn't... Or he was skipping Philly. Was that what Marissa said?
Yeah, Marissa said that yesterday, but I guess that's not true.
All right, so it's been announced. All right, announcement number two. This particular show at a different venue will be taking place at the Wells Fargo Center, and this will be on a Friday night, July 10th. And this is the first time this individual will be performing in the round. And MMR rocks Roger Waters.
Oh.
It is called the This Is Not a Drill North American Tour 2020.
It's not the Scoopsy McWaters Tour?
No, it's not the Scoopsy Potatoes McWaters Tour. It is called the This Is Not a Drill North American Tour. Friday, July 10th, Wells Fargo Center for the first time in the round, like I said. And the tickets are on sale the same day, the 31st. Same day as Jimmy Buffett at 10 a.m. via WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. There will be a pre-sale, by the way, Thursday the 30th, so a week from today, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. You want to listen and win tickets to rest this week with Jackson and then next week with Pierre. So lots of tickets to be given away through WMMR.
It's pretty wild. I always think of Waters and Buffett as sort of similar performers.
Right, they're a lot of the same elements to those shows.
Yep.
Complete details at WMMR.com. By the way, so that'll be cool. I have a Roger Waters. I've never seen any members of Pink Floyd live.
No.
It's
what?
A travesty.
Really?
I know. I should because it's a.
I saw Pink Lloyd, a cover band.
Pink Lloyd.
Yeah, it wasn't as good.
Wow, old null and void. All right, let's get to music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Brought to you this morning by Major League Wrestling. Major League Wrestling presents Fightland Saturday night, February 1st at the 2300 Arena in South Philadelphia. Get your tickets today at MLWGO.com. Well, Pearl Jam, as we played yesterday, shared Dance of the Clairvoyance. And it says here the first single and video from its upcoming 11th album, Gigaton. Now, I've heard it's not really the first single, and I don't know what to think about that, meaning that they've just kind of thrown this out as a tease, and they've got another song that they're going to work more seriously as their single. I don't know. I'm a little confused by this, but we'll wait and see.
Do you know what I think it might be a case of? It's happened before. They kind of float out a song. Other bands have done this, and then the real song comes out.
Right.
And I don't know if it's a case of by comparison or just to set the tone, potential tone. But, yeah, this would not scream out at me as a single.
They're hinting at this not being representative of the rest of the album, that this is kind of experimental, but we'll have to wait and see. Jeff Ament said... he said that... Dance was a perfect storm of experimentation and real collaboration, mixing up the instrumentation and building a great song.
Huh.
He said, and Ed writing some of my favorite words yet around Matt Cameron's killer drum pattern. And did I mention Mike's insane guitar part and that Stone is playing bass on this one?
Ah.
We've opened some new doors creatively, and that's exciting. And you get to hear Eddie growl on the song as well. As for what the song is about, Ament told us a while back that he leaves interpreting the lyrics up to the listener. Said sometimes there's something kind of magical and mystical about just forming your own idea on where the feelings come from or where the words are coming from. Sometimes it can be this really crazy kind of dark place, and sometimes it can be a place that probably has nothing to do with, you know, what Eddie's talking about or whatever. It's just your own story. Your kind of you kind of formulate it into your own thing.
You asked yesterday, Preston, who was playing the keys, and it's Jeff.
Okay, it's Jeff and, yeah. That's why Stone's playing bass.
Yeah.
Okay. About the album overall, Ament said, I can't tell you how proud I am of this group of songs. As you know, we took our time, and that benefited us taking more chances. Gigaton comes out March 27th.
Giggity.
Giggity, giggity. And,
giggity, giggity, giggity.
And is the band's first studio album since Lightning Bolt, which came out in 2013 and won a Grammy, mind you.
Hi, Grandma.
Speaking of new music.
It got louder as you went on.
He's getting consumed with sneezing.
Sorry, guys.
Is it, hi, Grandma.
Are all three of you guys having the sniffles now?
Yeah, it's a bizarre thing. So my eyes are all watery, and I have a little bit of the sniffles. Preston has it, I think, a little bit worse than I do, but...
yep.
I have the benefit of looking like Dracula post-meal.
Bill was sick for like a week and a half or 2 weeks.
Pierre, yeah, he had the same thing.
Yeah, Pierre's been suffering through it as well.
Yeah, I got a big time running nose.
And my fistula vibrates whenever rain is coming.
Man.
Whenever what?
Rain is coming.
Oh. Well, Saturday.
Yeah.
Get ready. So anyhow, Smashing Pumpkins' Billy Corgan has said in a new interview that he is hard at work on the band's new studio album. Asked about the status of a new LP, he said it's currently 21 songs. I've been working on it over a year. It's pretty different in a good way, I think. Everybody that's heard it likes it a lot, so that's a good sign. The upcoming disc will be the follow-up to 2018's Shiny and Oh So Bright Volume 1 LP, No Past, No Future, No Sun, which was the first Pumpkins effort in over 18 years to feature Jimmy Chamberlain and James Iha along with Billy. They will hit the road later on this year, according to Mr. Corgan.
Billy should go out as Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah. He's,
wouldn't that be cool?
Kind of got that look about
yeah.
him. Guns N' Roses / may have just lowered fan expectations for a new studio album from the band. Asked in a new interview with Guitar.com for an update on new music from the group, / responded, there's been no definitive answer on anything, and I'll just keep to that. He said, stuff is happening, but there are no specifics. He said, more than anything... it's because the nature of the industry right now, it's just like, how do you want to do this? I mean, there's material and there's recording and there's S going on, but we're not really sure what we're doing with it right now. So, I don't know. They're going to be playing, by the way, this weekend, the Bud Light Super Bowl Music Fest, the 30th through the 1st.
Who's opening for them?
I don't know. They're going to be headlining January 31st. I do know that. At the,
is it Dirty Honey?
That's what I was going to ask.
Airlines Arena. The Dirty Honey is?
I don't know.
Remember, because the Slash sort of cryptically told them, you know, and then that's how he invited them to tour with them.
Yeah. And they opened for them in Vegas, but I don't know if they're doing this or not.
Huh.
Yeah. Other news, a Massachusetts judge has rejected Aerosmith drummer Joey Kramer's lawsuit against his bandmates. We were talking about that yesterday.
I saw depressing footage yesterday of him trying to get into a rehearsal.
TMZ has footage of him being turned away from an Aerosmith Grammy rehearsal. So what, he's walking
up. They walk up. The bodyguards are basically saying, we've been told not to let you in. There's really no audio worth a damn. It's kind of very quiet. But you see him, he's like, I guess that's that then, you know.
That would be akin to us.
Yeah.
You know, having a guard saying, if Marissa shows up, tell her she can't, she can't be here. You know what I mean? That's messed up. Wow. Okay. But anyhow, they've decided to, the judge has decided that the lawsuit is no good and is throwing it out.
Is this one for Judge Hatchett or Judge Judy?
Yeah, maybe they need to take it to People's Court or Divorce Court.
Divorce
or
Court
like
or
yeah.
Jerry Springer's Court.
Yeah. Yeah, that's too bad. David Lee Roth has given fans even less hope for a Van Halen comeback, saying he wouldn't hold his breath for the band to ramp it up again.
No love you'd call real.
He drew mixed reviews for his recent run of Las Vegas gigs, which will serve as the opening act for Kiss during the band's North American dates.
It's going to be a disaster.
Pulling any punches, are you, Gene?
He spoke
I was
about
traumatized by the chicken story earlier.
He spoke.
It's time to get real.
He spoke about being in touch with Eddie Van Halen. He said, "I just called Ed to find out who the guitar tech I need to talk to is and some of the gear I need." He said, "Everybody's fully aware of the residency. We live in small circles here. We have the same manager. Everything, the stuff you sing along with, I wrote. I'm a part owner. It's in the DNA. Whatever happens with Van Halen, it's not for me to guess. But I wouldn't hold my breath." David went on to say how his
what does all that mean?
How his solo
rock and roll hoochie coo. Why don't you say some other non sequiturs?
His solo band differs from Van Halen. He said, "I put together a double guitar, three guitar approach, which because we're not making any effort to replicate Van Halen live. That's guitar, bass, drums, Eddie. Wonderful. No, this is the album. We start the way the album sounds, and man, that's a high hurdle. It requires multiple guitars."
David Lee Roth, obviously, yes, he's those songs he helped write, yeah. So he has owner, you know, part ownership of them. He has every right to perform them. I mean, what we heard wasn't horrific, but would you be thrilled paying for a show of that?
I thought it was horrific.
I don't think so.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. It just wasn't horrific.
By the way, he will kick off his opening slot with Kiss on February 1st.
It's going to be a disaster.
In Manchester, New Hampshire, by the way. So
Manchester, New Hampshire?
Yeah.
I thought it was England.
I did, too. It's at SNHU
New Hampshire.
HU Arena, yes.
Yep.
Manchester, New Hampshire.
New Hampshire?
Yeah. Sorry, Gene. I know you just can't wrap your mind around it. One last story. Sammy Hagar and Rick Springfield are teaming up as Rum Runners. The two rock veterans have been pals for years, with Springfield actually scoring a 1981 top 10 hit with a cover of Sammy's I've Done Everything for You. The pair has joined forces to relaunch one of Hagar's Spirits lines.
That was a cover?
Yeah, you didn't know
that? I didn't realize that was a Sammy Hagar song.
I've Done Everything for You was written and...
I've done everything for you.
Yeah, Sammy recorded and wrote and recorded that first.
Didn't know that.
And but Rick had a bigger hit with it.
He did, yes.
Yeah, very much so. So they're relaunching one of Hagar's Spirit lines, which offers a collection of flavored rums called Sammy's Beach Bar Rum. And the brand, which was started by Hagar, has now taken on Springfield as partner. All told, there are three new rums on the market: a classic white rum, the cola spiced rum, and the redhead macadamia nut rum. Macadamia nut. Rick Springfield told People, "Our first collaboration was a home run, so we thought, why not try it again? Sammy has had such an amazing success in the spirit business, and I've wanted to get into it for a while now. When this opportunity came along, I thought it was a brilliant idea, and I am an Ernest Hemingway fan, so of course I drink rum. I tried a bunch of them. And the Peach Bar brand is a cut above all the ones I tried, smoother and sweeter." By the way, back in 2007, it was reported that Sammy sold 80% interest in his Cabo Wabo tequila for an estimated $80 million.
Oh, that's so such the way to go.
Yep.
I wonder how Ryan Reynolds Aviation Gin is doing.
Yeah,
I think it's like a really good quality product, which helps, obviously. It's like Clooney's tequila is right. Really good tequila.
Which vastly eclipsed all of the earnings from his entire entertainment career.
Yeah.
So, it's the chicken or the egg philosophy. Do people are certainly drawn to it because it has a celebrity association, but it's got to be good.
Yeah, it definitely has to be good. I don't know the status of gin's popularity right now in the United States. I know that the tequila is always popular. Bourbons and whiskeys have been on the surge for a long time. Vodka had a run for a while and took a back seat. But I thought maybe it was time for gin to kind of rear its head and become a popular drink. I know in the UK, gin is very, very popular.
Very big.
In fact, we had when we had that member of parliament while they were here, he was going on about how gin is the drink of choice.
Lord Fluffington.
Yes. And so I don't really know. But these guys are going after rum. And, of course, if you think tropical locations and drinks like that, rum is your go-to. So Rick Springfield, by the way, next performs on January 30th in Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
It's not. It's kind of near New Hampshire. At Plymouth Memorial. I was hoping you were going to do that. All right, and there you go. That's what we got in music news this morning. All right, we are going to take a break. Come back in a moment right here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Yep. And surrounding areas. We will get... Well, I know. Yes.
How close are we to New Hampshire?
When we return, we'll get our letter of the day for the Word of the Week. See what Pierre's got going on. Find out what we got going on tomorrow. Yeah, whatever. We'll be right back.
Giggity. 93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Huxley. Celebrating our area's best talent.
Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community.
Hear and see more at WMMR.com, keyword local shots. Huxley, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month.
Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family.
93.3 WMMR.
Everything that rocks.
We're wrapping up for the day. I want to thank, first of all, Ben Hartenraff. I have a hard time.
It's a tough one.
Hartenraff, who was here earlier this morning, a young man with autism, and he is doing a fundraiser for the Eagles Autism Challenge, and it is this Saturday at Quigg's Pizzeria and Grill, which is in Hatboro. Stop by while they're open. It's 10 a.m. to 11 p.m., and 10% of your bill is going to be donated to the charity. You can donate online as well at EaglesAutismChallenge.org as well. The keyword is Ben Hartenraff. You can look up the information on our website.
It's a lot to verbally juggle, but yeah.
But yeah, he's very excited. He's a really personable guy, and he's very passionate about raising the money.
He's great. I'm not going to be able to make it up, so I'm going to make a donation online, but I encourage you to do as well.
Yep.
You know, he's it's infectious what he's talking about and what he does.
It's cool to have him by. Thank you also to Amir K.
Yeah.
Who is here. Amir's at Punchline tonight. He's got one show, 8 o'clock, and there are two shows on Friday and Saturday. Those are at 7:30 and 9:45. You can go to punchlinephilly.com to get all the information that you will need to get your tickets and make your plans to go and see Amir's. He's a super-duper nice guy. We're about ready to get started, and there's a local musician who's making his way in to the studio now, who's going to get us that information that we need. Maybe he'll surprise us with a little song this morning. I don't know.
Dude, I'm just trying to get my start, man.
Did you see the video of yourself yesterday playing guitar? No?
Sadly, yes.
Oh, you did.
Marissa posted it, and then she added something which I had no idea about. She said, if we can get 933... rehits or something of this, or likes of this, Pierre will play this at the Emma Barbecue.
Oh, my God. There's only 147 likes, but there are 296 retweets. Retweets are hard to get.
Retweets are harder to get,
what was
yeah.
it, Marissa, you wanted?
933.
What?
She wants 933.
Retweets.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's going to require some effort, but we can get there. We're a third of the way there.
It seems like you're excited about playing the barbecue.
I can tell.
I don't know that it's something I want to subject the Emma Barbecue goers to.
Well, would you do throat singing with the Who?
Well, that too.
Okay.
I don't think
when they do Bob O'Reilly that way, it is like unbelievable.
I don't think the stage
bunga Bob O'Reilly bunga 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 bunga.
I don't think the stage managers would let you get on stage and play
true.
Guitar.
It's true.
They would probably stop you before you even had
just
a chance.
Just let him effing try.
He's got the rock attitude.
That's right, man. That's
once
right.
the muse takes hold of him, he becomes a beast.
Me and Wes Scantlin.
Yeah. Go crazy on him.
We'll go crazy.
All right, we should do the letter of the day. Ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by the letter...
G is in great day.
All right, and we have a six-pack of pit tickets for MMRBQ 2020, Saturday, March 16th, BB&T Pavilion. Tickets are on sale now, $25 for the early bird special. on lawn tickets while supplies last. The pavilion seats start at $49.50. Complete details at WMMR.com. Nine bands: Disturbed, Sublime with Rome, The Pretty Reckless, Royal Blood, Puddle of Mud, Crobot, Dirty Honey, The Who, Foxtrot and the Get Down, and Pierre Unplugged will be on stage.
That would be 10 bands.
So get, that would be 10, you're right. So get your tickets now.
Maybe if Saint backs me up.
All right, if you have a backup band.
No, that constitutes a super band, right?
What are they called? Super group.
Super group.
Yeah, it would be. Wow. What is happening on the program today, Saw?
We will have Easy Money coming at 11 a.m., 1 p.m. Two more chances after that with Jackson at 4 and 6 p.m. We've got... am I done with the Sting tickets? I think I have one more pair of Sting. I have so many tickets, I'm a little overwhelmed. We have Sting tickets for that second show, one more pair today, which is on sale today. Went on sale at 10 a.m. for the second show at the Met, which is May 2nd. The first one, May 1st, sold right out. So that's just on sale now. You just announced Roger Waters and Buffett. And I will have Buffett tickets to give away. That's August 6th, and that goes on sale next week. And I might have something else in tickets, but I can't remember if I do or not.
Okay.
Are you going to Buffett?
No, I couldn't possibly. Yes.
You haven't missed a show. Are you, at least?
Well, actually, I have missed a few because he's been touring on times I take a regular week to go up to Cape Cod, and he's come almost every year on that same week.
And you have your buddies usually come in, right?
Yeah. So this time he's not.
What are the restrictions on the days that he will and won't play?
Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays.
Those are the only days he does play,
yeah. Okay. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays.
Why those days? Any idea? So he just doesn't...
No idea.
I guess he doesn't play back-to-backs. Away with it. So, well, because he won't play back-to-back nights, I guess. Okay, I got you.
But it's to say the least, a leisurely tour schedule. The Buffett tour, any given leg is no more than 2.5 weeks long,
right.
And probably 5 dates within that period of time. So he takes it easy, but that's, he's been doing it for a while.
That's the nature of his music.
Yeah.
Taking it easy.
But the Roger Waters thing, you had mentioned thinking about going, I think it's on a Friday. I would highly recommend you go.
Okay.
I would say in the last 10 years, in the top 10 is every time Roger Waters has toured.
Wow.
Whether it's been with The Wall, the just immense, gargantuan, incredible production of The Wall, when he did the Us and Them tour, the Animals tour. These are amazing pieces of production, and all that Pink Floyd music. It's incredibly well presented, so
right.
I highly recommend it.
All right, cool. Will do. Let me thank our sponsors.
Oh, and I didn't say what I have for blocks.
I've
got Cheap Trick for Robin Zander's birthday. I've got Breaking Benjamin Korn combo block because they're at the PPL Center. And STP and the Nickelback show are on sale. So I did Nickelback earlier in the week. I'm going to do STP today, including their beautiful new acoustic song.
Did you say Dinkleback?
Did I hear?
I did not hear that, but I would love it. I would love if you had said Dinkleback.
I don't believe that's a thing I would say.
Okay.
But Kathy said, "Man, you get your Nickelback tickets."
Nickelback. All right. Let me thank our sponsors. President Steve Show is brought to you today by Hers. Forever Good. Also brought to you by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa.
Wawa.
And also brought to you by Drexel University's Test Drive, February 10th through the 14th. Visit drexel.edu/test drive. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk to Dorothy of the band Dorothy.
Yes.
She's getting in touch with us. Interesting information, believe it or not, about breast implants from her.
Yeah.
And Rich Voss, comedian, our friend, will be in the studio
tomorrow. He's
great. Yeah, to round out the week. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Okay, bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
One of the joys of taking a middle schooler to school in the morning is getting in the car with him, turning the car on, and hearing the words British penis.
Next message.
The best part of waking up are testes in your cup.
Next message.
What up, Delco? So I guess y'all ain't get the memo the other day for the goddamn turn signal.
the Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.